Welcome into the Cam and Strick podcast, episode number 106.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Do you have any initial thoughts you want to get out of the way, or do you have something you want to say? Are you waiting for me to ask you a question?
I'm fucking tired because I, when you're in St. Louis and you got a 10 o'clock game and you stay up till 2 o'clock. I had my buddies over last night. Kate and I stayed up. She's fucking struggling today. Girl, what's up?
Did you stay up for the whole game?
Yeah, a little bit afterwards. Yeah. I had a party a little bit because I'm like, fuck it. I'm committed now, baby. My buddies came over.
Last time this season you'll do that.
No, last time. No one's ever allowed in my house again until I move. Dunzo.
Well, no, I'm saying you won't stay up for a full game that starts at 10 o'clock.
If I make a night out of it like we did last night, I'll do it. Right. But otherwise, listen, like Kate's going to bed, I can't.
And people make a big deal out of this and whatever. I'm not one of those. It is what it is. You put hockey on, I'll watch, you know. But it's interesting. You get to the third period, whatever, and your eyes, you're not really following. It's like, are you following
the play? Andy, I woke up
this
morning and I didn't know what happened last night. No.
You had no idea.
No idea what happened.
You forget everything anyway.
I forget every fucking thing I did the night before, and I'm like, oh, I got to do a radio thing. I got to do a hit here. Now I got to regroup and do it. It's just too late.
Of all the teams that I saw play on opening night, though, the Blues look like the best team.
Yeah, they're great.
They played really well. Montreal, Toronto.
They could get beat 10-0 next game.
All these teams, like the Canadian, the North Division, like everyone.
I can't wait for that, though.
And you know what?
I love the Canadian Division.
No, it is.
I love that game with Montreal and Toronto.
But they're
not going to win a Stanley Cup playing LA, but they're fun to watch.
They are.
They're fun to watch. Wayne Simmons gets the first fight. Fuck that.
Everyone analyzes it to death because of the markets they're in. It's just what. It comes with the territory. Yeah. You're in Montreal, Toronto. People are going to talk about you a lot.
Fucking A.
But the reality, it's just funny. Like, neither team is as good as people make them out to be.
Not at all. Yep. No doubt about
it. But they're entertaining to watch. Like, you watch a team like St. Louis, you watch Colorado, you watch Tampa Bay. Like, none of those teams are on that level. Okay?
Not even close.
they're just not at the same level.
Hey, keep putting Chicago in the main fucking slot, by the way. They're so fun to watch.
Why don't we push that? Why don't we have the game start at 11:30 instead?
No, let's do it at 1:30 in the morning. I'll stay up all night.
Let's have four periods between Tampa Bay and Chicago.
Why the fuck are we watching Tampa Bay and Chicago? Like, Chicago, they're done. They're done right now. Okay, they're back. Now I look at them. They're back in 2007 era when we used to go up there and there's fucking 9,000 people in the stands, just like the fucking Blues in 2006. They're packed. They pack the house. Don't get me wrong. If there's people there, but my point is, they're not fun to watch anymore. Well, I know it's a big market.
They're missing a ton of players.
I don't care. They're not fun to watch anymore. They haven't been in a while. Put a different team. Put the Dallas Stars. Don't put those two together. Why can't we do that? Why can't those two kick the shit out of each other? Mm-hmm. Oh, are they on COVID list? Or is there
Dallas is on the COVID list? But
I don't know. I'm just sick of Chicago being in the mix.
That wins the cup the year before is always featured
Andy,
on opening
Did I
night.
Say Tampa Bay not being in the fucking no hot slot? No, I said why Chicago?
So you're saying Tampa Bay should open up against a different opponent?
They took this cup and they had a lovely fucking ceremony with nobody watching besides the families. Which God, I don't like seeing that, man. I feel bad. I'm like, God damn, because of what we saw in 2019 here. And then you see
they were supposed
like,
to have like 3,900 fans there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the original plan. And then they all of a sudden said no fans.
Yeah, well,
till the end of February.
Shit spiked up. I mean, what do you do? Shit spiked
but
up.
But it is weird, man. You see the banner raising ceremony. Much of that. Like the banner. There, let me say this. The banner, like the Stanley Cup, that's about the team. Like winning the cup, that's about the team, man. It's all the banner belongs to the fans. The banner belongs
city.
To the fans.
The
it's
banner
the
belongs
city.
To the city.
That's a celebration for the city, for the fans.
Forever.
You almost say, why don't you wait for the ceremony until you can celebrate and share it with the fan base? Like, what's the rush to put the banner up when there's nobody in the building? Explain that to me.
Andy, you were terrible the other night getting the puck out of zone. You look god-awfully slow. I don't mind your outfit. It's okay. Your shoes suck. That's a great point. That's a great point. I bring you down, I build you back up. That's a great point. Why rush that? Who gives a fuck?
Exactly.
I know the family's there. Just show the cup if you want, but raise the banner. Wait. Like, I roll the dice.
Wait till Kucherov gets back.
Wait till the coach is cruising around. No, wait till there's people that can actually like show you emotion right there.
And maybe clap.
They're clapping to each to nobody.
Listen, Tampa, listen.
And we get it.
The fans couldn't even be there to watch the Stanley Cup last year. Let them enjoy something. They couldn't go to the parade.
They can't do shit. They couldn't say the yacht.
They couldn't go to they couldn't do anything. They do any? Can they do something?
How about can we be patient? Take the Stanley Cup out of it. Fine. Yeah. But can there be a celebration? You might with
as well
the fans?
Have just like brought the banner over to my house.
Here you go.
Put it up my ceiling.
Here you go. Look through the TV. Here it is. Hi. I don't know. I kind of feel bad.
But Tampa impressed
me. It's all good.
I kind of predicted them. I was like, I don't know, man.
Kind of predicted them? How can you
Well, I kind of like predicted that like maybe they wouldn't be as good as a lot of people anticipate. Like say, hey, they're a Stanley Cup contender once again.
They're good.
They're just so good.
But Chicago's not very good either.
Oh, my God. You don't get a real like read. And that's the problem with this divisional format. Like that division, for example, is not good. Tampa Bay is going to roll.
Oh, fuck.
They're going to roll. And then all of a sudden, they're going to get to the conference final. And
they might get smacked
somebody.
In the face.
They might, man.
They might get smacked in the face.
They might.
I want to see Vegas. I want to see how they're doing. I like to see – I'm dead serious in all you guys, man. Like, all you Canadian fans, like, I want to see Toronto do well. I want to see motherfucking Calgary and Edmonton be the motherfuckers. Be the loud ones. I want Toronto to do well. Of course, I want Montreal to do – I want all of them to do well. But I want – honestly – Calgary and Edmonton, can you guys please kill each other? Like, honestly, fucking entertain us, baby. Matthew, do your thing. Fucking
Matthew's going to do it against everybody. Even when Calgary plays Winnipeg and what happened in the playoffs last year. And
be
whatever.
Loud.
Oh, yeah.
Love it,
and
man.
Ottawa's going to be interesting to watch,
That's my favorite conference.
Ottawa, we all know, is not a contender.
They might.
But they're interesting.
They're going to beat the fuck out of teams.
Interesting, man, I'm okay with a team losing who's young. They got a bunch of young studs. And they may not be ready to compete yet, but as long as they play their ass off and they're entertaining,
thank
man,
you.
And they make it hard for the teams that they play against.
Andy.
And they could. You never know, man.
Andy.
You never know.
Teams are going to go into Ottawa. Teams are going to go in that fucking rink in Ottawa.
In the face.
And they're going to get punched in the fucking face. And Brady's going to be like, I'm the big dick. Not my fucking brother. Yeah. I'm the big dick.
Tim Stutzla.
Stutzel. That guy's sick.
He's sick.
Man. He's sick. So go sick. Go dominate then. I want competition. I love that. Like, I'm so excited about the Canadian division more than, honestly, anything else. But I do think Washington is going to be fucking awesome,
Washington's
too. They're
be
a cool
good
team.
Too, oh, yeah.
Like, if you're going to root for teams, like, I like cool teams. You got fucking Chara now. You got Osh fucking flowing. You got Tommy Wells. And you got Ovi. Like, fuck you. You guys are cool. Go dominate.
Yeah,
I like it.
Too,
entertain, baby. That's what it's about. Entertain me.
Well, you get sick watching the same teams play the same teams and over and over again.
If they don't get pissy with each other, I'll be like, what the fuck are we doing? Oh, here's a pillow fight again. A fucking pillow fight. I don't need crazy shit. I'm not talking line brawls. I'm just saying every fucking whistle in your face kind of thing. A natural emotion, organic emotion. I want it. I want these guys. If I'm pissed at the team that we're playing after watching my fucking sofa drinking some fucking Camus, getting my mind right. If I'm pissy and the boys aren't, then I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? You're not in it. So they need to be on the ball, fucking mad every shift.
Vancouver's
go.
Good too, man. You never talk about Vancouver.
Do you see Quinn Hughes the other night make a play on the wall?
He's
Did
so
you see
good.
That play?
You know what? It's like,
Jesus Christ.
But like all the media is like, he may not be as good because Tanev's not there. It's like,
what?
Who's to say he didn't make Tanev
no
better?
Shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, he's this fucking
dude,
media,
this
by
dude
the way.
Is going to be a Norris Trophy candidate before too long. He's sick. He's like Heiskanen. He's like, Cale Makar. Like, he's at that level. Like, he doesn't need Chris Tanev to be sick. Listen, it's good to play with a veteran guy, but you're going to tell me he didn't make Tanev better?
I mean, I don't know.
Come on.
There's just so many
He'll be okay without Chris Tanev, okay?
Everybody wants to, like, say, this is going to happen. This, and it's like, I, as a hockey guy, man, being in the game for 5 years now, being a radio, hosting a radio show every day, Andy being on the radio, you know. Like, I never say, this is what's, I just, no one knows.
Well, that's why.
No one knows
I go
who
on these,
feels
I go
good.
On these radio like, shows and everyone's like, who's your Stanley Cup champion?
I don't
I'm like,
know.
I don't know. Ask me when the playoffs start.
How's COVID? Where's COVID going to be knocking at? Like, how's this? How's that? How do I know these guys over here are not bored this year? How do I know? Like, I don't, this is not normal. I can't answer that question. Like, I can't,
well,
like, look
me,
in the eye.
Ask
like,
me when the playoffs start and I'll let you know who's playing.
Let me watch
best.
A couple
I'll
fucking
let you know
games.
Who's healthy. Are you following this Keith Yandle situation?
Yeah, I am. How can you not? You know, 866 games, I believe, consecutive.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Are you confident?
Crazy.
Are you 100% it's 866?
No,
it's
I'm not.
It's 8 something, though.
No,
it's a long
time. It's a long time. You know, you're blocking that many shots, you're playing that many minutes, and you don't get hurt. It's very weird, actually, Andy. It's extremely bizarre. to well, not no. get injured.
You play that long, you got to figure you play hurt at some point in time.
Oh, yeah, but how? But listen.
He took pucks in the face and came back and played, remember?
Yeah, you could do that, but sometimes you get hit in the ankle and you could be the toughest guy. You could be
he's
Terminator.
In a tough spot, though, man, because he's got 2 years left in his contract after this year,
yeah.
making a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reality is you're probably not the player you once were.
$6 million? $6.5 million?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like a lot of money. And you have the full no move, so you kind of have the organization by the balls. But with that being said, it's interesting, man. You bring a new GM. Like, are they trying to tank? Like, what are they trying to do this year? And listen, I'm of the belief, and you can touch on this, when you're a veteran player, I think you just got to communicate with the veteran player. Like, yeah. let them know what you're thinking.
I agree with that.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. tell the player, hey, this is what I got to do. This is where we're at as an organization. I need you to help me out here. I got to try to move you, man. I'm going to have to move you.
Well, we've both seen this situation firsthand in many ways and many levels, too. Like, Andy, you've seen that with different GMs throughout the Blues and other organizations. And so have I. And you, like, for a guy like me, like, it's like if you need to send a note to something, like, okay, you're gone. But this guy's been like a like 866, man. That's like Jay Bomeister. Like, you think
where do you draw the line of how much respect do you give a player when you have an Iron Man streak like
oh my
that
God.
Going.
I mean, that's a big deal. Okay, that's a big
not,
deal.
They're not winning this year. They're probably not winning this year.
It's a big deal. But the community, like, listen, if you have to cut him and he's not up to par, then fine. But it's the way you do it, just like you just said. Don't just send it to the media. Don't half-ass it. Sit his ass down. 866. He's a fucking
Especially
veteran.
Especially when you're a first-time GM, man.
No, I know, because you're setting a precedent for yourself and for the future. All these cats are listening. You think Keith Yandle, who's
exactly
on Spittin' Chicklets
right.
all the goddamn time?
Well, you don't think he's talking to all his teammates, too? Like,
you don't think he's going to get on his microphone
mm-hmm.
and say, this guy's a fucking dick?
Right.
He didn't even fucking talk to me. I got 866 going. Yeah. Andy, you're right.
And then, like, are you trying to strong-arm the head coach, too? Who's a legendary yeah. head coach. I'm not going to sit here and say that's happening, but are you telling him that you can't play him? Are they trying to bully him a little bit to see, and if he flinches, to say, okay, you know what, I'll waive my no move. But here's what I do know. He has not waived his no move. They haven't asked him to waive his no move, but I think they're waiting for that time to come. There's one team he'll go to play for, and that's the Boston Bruins. Otherwise, he basically does have the team by the balls. You want to sit him out and play him? Hey, go ahead and do that. When you're probably not in position to win right now anyway, are you tanking? Like, what are you doing? There's one other team that he would probably have interest in going to, which would be Philadelphia. You know, again, these teams aren't in position to take on that type of salary. Boston's going to have to eat and retain at least half the – or excuse me, Florida's going to have to retain at least half the salary, okay? They may have to take a bad contract in return also.
Yep.
And a team may ask for a first-round pick. You never know, right? I mean,
so what's the moral of the story, Andy?
Well, the moral of the
story. Tom Stillman, Doug Armstrong. Yeah. What's the moral of the story?
You got to be able to communicate to veteran guys, man, and treat people the right way.
And the no movement clause when you're 36 years old is a bad idea.
That's exactly
brother,
right,
Alex Pietrangelo,
you know,
style.
See, like Doug Armstrong talked about this during the Pietrangelo negotiations. Remember, like he's not going to ever allow a player to have more power in the organization than the
there
owner.
There it is. There it is right there. And now the organization looks like fucking assholes and fools and dicks because they have to be this way.
To a popular player.
To a popular player who has complete control.
You can't even send him down.
It's unbelievable.
But you know why they need to move on from this guy?
Yeah.
And here's what it comes down to. And I understand this from management's point of view. But again, it's how you handle it. It's like, who are you talking to? Why are you going to the media? Don't create drama with this. Just try to do your business and get it done. Talk to him.
Talk to him on the beach.
Exactly.
Here in
Whatever.
Florida, baby.
Let's go for a walk on the beach.
Going to Florida.
But you gotta have those expansion rosters, obviously, and who you're going to protect, who you're not going to protect.
I know.
When you have a player with a no move clause, you have to protect that player. So they don't want to use. You can only protect what, 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and a goalie,
yep.
or 8 players and a goalie, whatever it is, something like that. You don't want to be in a position where you want to use a 34-year-old defenseman who you don't see in the future of your plans as a player that you have to protect.
Yep.
They want to put that on somebody else. But listen, every team would be in that situation. Everybody understands that. So they're in a tough spot, man. That's why these teams assign these players to these long-term contracts. How do you not know that you're going to land in this position one day? You know?
Well, exactly. So like that's why – Well, we see it. We don't like to always like go back to like the Blues, but like we see this firsthand on a daily basis. Like that's why they did that, mm-hmm. and it was a big controversy. And some fans were like, "I can't believe give him everything he needs." Like, no, Andy, we were talking about some of the radio shows for weeks, months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't do that.
Lou Lamoriello wouldn't do that. Like, you can't. These guys, especially now. Well, he tried to sign
Kovalchuk to a 17-year deal. Remember that?
Yeah.
And the NHL rejected it.
Rejected. Yeah. Well, who knows what he had in different clauses with different things.
Well, it was circumvention.
But that was different too, and that was in a different. Corona wasn't around. Lou was getting pressured by the ownership at that point to get the guy, no matter what the case was. So there's a lot of things going on in that particular situation. But this situation, people are complaining about, like, give him everything. Like, no, you can't. 38 years old, Andy. 36, 37.
34, I think.
No. When Petro expires, would have been 36, 37, 38 years old with a no movement clause.
So we'll see how that plays out with Vegas. And they're going to be in that situation, which is why Vegas isn't set up to be great long term. They're trying to win now in the short term.
Well, they're good. Two goalies like that?
And they might.
And they got up. Vegas is going to be good, Andy. I think they're going to be Colorado. Okay, we saw one game.
They're going to be fine. They played St. Louis. Remember that,
I know, but their goaltending could be weird. Mm-hmm. Their D, I don't know. I wish they had Zadorov back there.
Yeah.
He was a big boy. He could have set
the tone.
They're
missing some of that.
They're missing a couple.
They got a lot of guys that fly around that can skate.
I know, but they got hit last night a couple times, and they just stopped moving.
Mm-hmm.
Zadorov
first shift of the game. Did you see first shift of the game? Bortuzzo rocked.
No, because the other fucking game was on. No, because the other game was on.
Oh, you didn't see it from the beginning?
No.
Oh, no. They
10 minutes in, I saw the fucking game.
No, they switched to the game.
My buddies were over.
They switched to the game. First shift of the game, Bortuzzo rocks McKinnon behind the net. I'm like, all right, they're ready to go.
He got walked a couple times, though.
Who, Bortz?
Bortz got walked a couple times.
Like, Kruger got walked, though, once or twice,
He did, so did Falcon one time.
And that's going to happen to those guys. Hey, none of these guys
are I'm just saying.
Superior
And just like Jordan Kyrou turned the puck over a couple times, too. Oh, he had a great game. He's pumping his tires. Yeah. I saw him turn the puck at the blue line. I'm like, ooh.
Well,
but he stopped on it, and he got back. He did. That's all good.
And he scored a goal.
He's good. I don't see that.
The shift or two that he had leading up to it. You could tell he was buzzing around a little bit.
He looked different than everybody else.
And Robert Thomas performed the way that he needed to play.
He looked different, too. He just, when you're good.
He's got to have some of that swagger, man.
Here's how when you watch hockey a lot and you see a guy, and I saw Jordan Kyrou for the Blues, I know, whatever. But I'm like, who's this? Because he's 25. He's changed his number. So you see this 25, and you're like,
looks better.
What the fuck is this?
Better than 33.
He skates better than everybody else. Yeah. Like, he's different.
Mm-hmm.
He looked good.
He doesn't have that breakaway speed, but he's got that explosiveness. His first 2-3 strides.
He's exactly what you are.
He separates.
He's exactly what you're not. You are the slowest off the bat and slowest top speed. He's probably not the best top speed, but right off the bat, he goes.
I scored a nice goal yesterday.
You scored a really nice goal yesterday. I'm going to give you that. But God, are you slow.
Oh,
You threw a tired.
I get tired.
So do I.
Fatigue creeps in.
Oh.
It just creeps
in. I like when people say that. God, I was dominant when I played juniors and stuff. What happened? I hurt myself. I got hurt. I go, oh, yeah, so did I. Well, I got hurt. That's why I had to quit. I'm like, oh, okay, I got hurt. Just like that's the excuse you just said. Well, I was tired. So was I.
No, you
were. I did like a radio show. I did this. I was probably drinking. You were healthy. You probably ate kale and protein shake and shit, like wheatgrass and shit, where I'm pounding fucking booze and entertaining people.
Rolled around on the foam roller.
Fucking pound. Yeah, you're getting a hot tub, and I just go out there and do my shit, baby. It is what it is. You gave me a fucking pizza.
Well, you're
It's
welcome.
So funny. When Andy gives me a pizza on the ice, I go down and I go bar down, and I just look at him. He looks the other way like, oh, something's going on over here. I'm going to look this way. No, look at me in my eyes when I do that to you.
Well, someone stole my stick.
Look me in my eyes when I do that to you.
I told you someone stole my stick.
Here's another excuse. If your kids are saying these exact same excuses as Andy, you need to sit them the fuck down and say, No. Everybody's tired.
I had a
suck it up and figure it out. Everybody's in the same situation. Don't listen to Andy.
I had a brand new David Perron stick that is missing.
What do you want now? Do you want a?
I don't know. I had to pick.
Oh, you want a Bozak stick? Is that what you want?
He's already like Bozak. He played well too.
Oh, we need to talk to him, by the way. Hey, how many sticks you got, right quick?
Yeah, Bozak.
Let me check that curve.
I need you to shoot the puck more. And Robert Thomas. Robert Thomas had no shots on goal in the game. Like, he gets chances to shoot.
We're Blues heavy right now.
That's okay.
I just don't want the Canadian boys to get pissy.
The Canadian boys need to understand though.
And gals.
The Blues play the and gals.
And girls.
After the opening night, they were the best team.
How about this?
So I don't care. I know we're in Pittsburgh right now. I talk about the Blues anyway. Fine.
I know this is a long intro. We got 5 more minutes left. Fine. Toronto, Montreal. fucking Wayne Simmons goes out there, does his thing, gets in a little scrap, throws a couple of hit or throws a couple bombs, could have knocked the guy out.
Yeah, that's not why they came back and won. Everybody says that.
Well, like, at least they know that. I'm not that guy. He's like fighting. I'm not that guy. You know that. You wouldn't even be my fucking partner.
It may have had something to do with the 5-on-3.
No,
power
it's more play, like just like Dwayne Wayne's fucking good. And, like, if he'll bag a guy up once in a while, like, we're a different mentality now. And we got skill. Like, fuck, we got a couple big boys that'll do that shit. Yeah. And we're fucking good.
I'll give you
just
that.
Little things
He brings something. Like, he's not the player that he once was.
No, he's making 1.5, though. He struggles
getting up and down the ice a little bit. Just like Joe Thornton, man. Everybody's like, oh, he's going to play with Matthews and Marner. Listen, that won't last, okay?
No.
Like, he may play some shifts with Matthews and Marner.
Yeah.
And then a good portion of the game, they might put Hyman up there or something.
He'll be
in
a D-zone a lot, Thornton, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He's just good.
Yeah. It's his presence, man.
He's good. He can get the puck out of the zone. Just get out of the zone.
But, you know, he's not 38 because he was sick when he was 38. But he's like, what, 40, how old is he, 43, something like that?
I don't know.
Something 41?
God, he looks good, though. He's got good hair and fucking goddamn.
No, he looks good. He's a guy that I would want to have around.
Our engineer doesn't have any gel in his hair today, and he just looks fucking good. I'm giving compliments out. That's what I do. Anyway.
Okay.
What
else you got? Anything else of interest?
Well, Ricky DiPietro is fucking awesome.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this guy, okay, this is what we're going to talk about. She forgot. Ricky DiPietro, unbelievable guy. Every single question we asked him,
he answered.
He answered in complete detail how I think that I would try to do in an interview.
And we've had other guests
I love that.
And it makes all the difference in the world.
It is so awesome.
Some of the guys who are like, okay, I'm going on a podcast, but I'm not going to answer. Like, that doesn't
I'm
fly.
I'm just
going to
like.
Doesn't fly.
The boys were good. He's like, no, here, Cam, I'll explain this to you. So you're right. I got the money and I did this. And I'm like, fuck yeah. Because when people ask me questions, I'm like, oh, all right. Detail, like, oh, I did this, did that. Like, it wasn't a interview like you would after a game where a lot of these guys are just stuck in that. Mm-hmm. Well, the boys played great, and it's the fucking same shit. Talk to me like if me and you were at the goddamn Limnet room, we're taping our shit up, we're taping our sticks, we're fucking having a couple of beers at the Bice, and we're fucking sitting next to each other in that $1 million locker room. Talk to me that way, and that's exactly what he did.
He roomed with Chief? Like, something fucking just catch awesome. Me off guard.
The fuck?
I didn't even know they played together.
Well, I didn't have that in my notes.
What? You play with Chief.
Jesus. Well, what the fuck? He's like the fucking best guy in the world. I'm like, figured that.
Yeah, he is.
He's a fucking bad.
Everybody loves Chief. Mark Savard. He loved Chief,
too. That's why he played in the NHL that long. As a fourth line guy.
As a fighter.
That's
like he and Ty Domi, man. There's a reason why those guys stick around. Man. Not everybody can.
Exactly right, man.
You should have done what they did, man.
Dude, I tried my hardest. I'm from Eureka, Missouri.
My hardest. Well, where are they from? Dude, fucking
Canada?
Chiefs from
Windsor?
From the reservation, whatever. Dude, he was able to overcome.
Yeah, he knew hockey, and he got to get... I didn't know. I didn't have anybody tell him anything. I don't know. He's better than me.
That's my excuse.
And he didn't do anything, though.
You can't use that. I use that.
He didn't do anything,
though. Did you see my high school stats, by the way? What'd you think of those?
Fucking 8 minutes in penalties. The lady fucking banger. Andy's a Lady Bing trophy. Where's the Lady Bing trophy at? It's Andy's this year. Oh, we know. Oh, we fucking know. He didn't go in the fucking corners. He might have good hands, but like he just sits out in the perimeter. Everybody else gets the puck. That's why he didn't get any penalty minutes. Now you fucking did it, man.
I did. Hey, thank you.
I love it, dude. It's funny, man.
No, it is funny, man.
You make fun of me a lot. God damn it.
Oh, hell yeah. You're easy. I'm easy, too. I'm pretty damn easy also.
You are really easy.
Really easy.
I just don't want to get mad at times when you piss me off. No. On the radio, you piss me off sometimes. Yeah, you do.
Dude, I got so many compliments yesterday.
Oh, we're great. But you piss me off.
They're like, yeah. I know what they're saying. All right.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Just don't be late. Don't be late to my radio show. Andy's never late for the podcast. He's organizes fucking everything, does everything. But when it comes to my radio show, when he comes on Wednesdays, he shows up fashionably motherfuck late.
Fashionably.
Like a fucking prima donna radio star like they all are. Everywhere in every city, all you radio boys, you're all prima donnas, and you know that, and that's fine. I like most of you. But Andy will do that just to piss me the fuck off.
A little bit.
And
but
I almost throw F-bombs up.
Well, there's Corona going around, too. I don't want to hang out around the station.
It has nothing to do with anything. Nothing.
All right, listen, let's get to Rick DiPietro. He was unbelievable.
Awesome.
People are going to love this interview. Like, you may not know what to expect. Like, oh, Rick DiPietro.
Yeah.
See how we think before we bring certain guests on. Like, I knew he'd be interesting, man. Like, I just think of guys who played who had an interesting story. I want to learn more about this guy.
I know. Like, the guy's making... Like, it's so, everything about him is interesting. Like, the way he brought up, like, a USA program, you made a ton of money, then you did this, and now you're in the radio game. Like, there's just a lot of weird things. Sometimes it's cooler to interview a guy that's a big guy, but not a super, superstar, to where he can just talk to you and be like, dude, this is my journey. I'm still kind of down, but this is my journey. And
He still is down.
I know. I wake his ass up a little bit.
We tried to, like, he came into the Camastric therapy.
Give me his fucking number, by the way.
And he feels good about himself now.
Yeah, no, you come to my therapy. You want to come to my therapy session, I'll pump your fucking ass up.
He's probably sleeping right now.
I'll smack you in the face and let you know. He's got to
wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I went through shit, too. Let's go.
No, he's good with that, though. He didn't have, like, substance abuse issues and stuff like that.
I know I had to ask that question. I know it sounds corny I asked that, but I have to.
I'm glad he didn't go down that road, man. You know, sometimes...
Well, he wouldn't have as much money, I'll tell you that.
Well, when you're like a phenom like he is, and then you don't live up to the expectations, when everybody's putting all that pressure on the organization for you to take the organization to the promised land, that's hard to do, man.
It is.
You know, I couldn't imagine
it's
having...
It's hard to show your face, too.
Having that...
Because you know they fucking bashed him for years, too, you know? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a tough crowd.
All right.
All right.
Camastric Podcast is brought to you by CarShield and CarShield.com. Mention the promo code CAM. You're going to save 10%. I know it's embarrassing. I know it's hard.
Mm.
But, you know, sometimes you just have to do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Again, structure the plan the way that you want it. You want a long-term plan? Do it. You want a short-term plan? You can do that, too. Don't get stuck with the bill. Don't get stuck having to pay thousands and thousands of dollars.
But I like that, though. I want to pay money.
Fuck. Oh. Don't do that. Simplify. Simplify everything, Andy. That's how it goes.
800-857-2481. Again, 800-857-2481. Call CarShield today. Please tell me you've done it already. Call CarShield. Support the sponsors.
Keep this engine running, baby. That's how it is.
Bud Light Seltzer, baby. You know all the flavors. We got a little pineapple going on today with the cranberry, grapefruit, man. We got the variety pack Cam brought in today. We love that.
Go, again, the
original flavor, strawberry, black cherry, lemon, lime, and
mango.
Mango, baby. Why do you like mango? Why does mango resonate with you?
Because of the name. It doesn't fucking matter. I'm like a child. If I see a cool thing, it's like a bright light or something. Like, I like that. Mango tastes good. I like pineapple probably the best, but I'm like, fucking mango, the name mango's badass. And I'm like, I just want to say it all the fucking time. Mango, that's my favorite.
You know, we were talking to Rick DiPietro, by the way. He went to an all-boys school, like, you know, before. You have like a real issue with people. A lot of people go to private school.
What did he say after I said that?
Well, then he went
What did he say after I said that? He was a fucking Pepe Le Pew, dude. So, I told you, you're sexually frustrated.
So then he went to the U.S. program. Now he's going to a school with girls.
Listen,
but it's like here in St.
Do
Louis,
I need to say it again?
No, but like,
do I need to explain
myself?
We
were talking about this yesterday on the radio show.
Yeah.
All these guys, like, where'd you go to school? And it's always like,
St. Jesus, Lord, have mercy.
Our Lady of the Mary Matriarch.
The Lord of our Savior
our
of
Lady
Jesus.
Holy Infant Lord.
I'm like,
Redeemer.
I had radio
of
shows.
Our Lady of
Andy.
Our Outhar.
All out these. Thou. All these high school girls, private schools, hired my radio show to be there. And all the girls would come up and I'd do my radio show. I felt like Jesus was watching me, Andy, saying, watch yourself, Cam. I'm watching you.
Oh, when
and
you go
little,
in there, could you imagine going to
school? I was
school
doing my radio
day.
Show, and the little girls are all like, hi, Cam. Yeah, I made a picture. I'm like, hi, everyone. I'm like, just be. And I felt a presence. I'm like,
What was the name of the school?
St. Mary, Mother of Lord Jesus. And the girls are the cutest things in the world. They were sweet. But I'm like, I'm perfect. Hi, I am a robot. Hi. The blues are good. Good Lord, I love everything.
Everyone's like, oh, no, I grew up with the.
And like,
how
no.
art thou, Our Lady of Mary, the, Holy Infant?
And then our
perish.
Psycho,
like,
our psycho fans would text in and be like, "What the fuck you doing there?" I'm like, "I gotta hide that thing." I'm like, "Oh Jesus, like, everything's good, girls. Everything." Oh God, fuck. Oh, I did do it like four different times in high school, little Catholic girl schools. Oh, the girls were so sweet, and a couple of them like fucking listen to the podcast, which is god awful, by the way. But on the other hand, they're like, Cam, I'm succeeding in this college and this and that. I'm like, fuck yeah. You gave me good advice. I'm like, are you sure about that? Like, like I'm so, I didn't even know. Oh God, it's all good, Andy. I love it. I do. I love it. Mm. I love it. But all the fucking all boys school, like, dude, I'll tell you this right now. Of all the shit I've been through in my life, going through school, meeting different people from different parts of fucking St. Louis.
It shapes you.
It's whether it's St. Louis, city kids coming down, fucking badass motherfuckers, gangster motherfuckers, no daddy, no mom, fucking dealing with fucking drugs, coming down, and I'm talking to them like a real person sitting right goddamn next to me. With girls. Hoosier girls from fucking Pacific, wealthy girls from fucking Wildwood, all of them, where they fucking look down upon you. So I had my fucking deodorant on. I got to walk by like, you're cool, Cam. You're cool, Cam. No, you're not. You suck at everything. You suck at life. And then she walks by and then look at you. I'm like, fuck. I needed that. I needed fucking hardcore football coaches being on my ass. I needed that big old handsome quarterback kick my ass in school, like all that. Well,
you can get that at the all
the fuck
school.
Oh, you'll get, dude,
from the football coach.
Okay, come fine on, dude. But everything else, honestly, dealing with women on a daily basis, you need to know how they, like, I learned so much. I was so intimidated, man. Like, I'm a fucking beating the fuck out of grown men, and I came and talked to this girl this, like,
the,
I fucked
the
that
the private
like,
schools out
it.
Here, man. There's more opportunity for like that, underprivileged kids to find their way
there. That's a different story,
you know?
No, okay, that's a different story.
And they get a good education.
But are they not getting a good education when they go to Eureka High School? Are you kidding me? I've seen these kids from the city come down, and these football coaches take them over, and they live in Eureka now. They have successful family. Are you get on with that?
I don't have to go to a private school. I hear what you're saying.
Oh, fucking boys school. Man, I'm just saying, dude. It better be really fucking nice, and they better be, because if you don't talk to girls on a daily basis, and you think your fucking boy's going to go to college and not be Pepe fucking Le Pew, you're fucking nuts.
What's Pepe Le Pew?
You remember that cartoon where he's like raping the fucking cat every day? Like, I love you.
No,
Jesus. Like, yeah, Pepe Le Pew. Like a fucking,
thank God I missed that one. I don't remember
Andy,
that.
It's a goddamn cartoon. And you're acting like you're fucking above people. Don't be around a bunch
of
Andes at fucking school.
I missed Pepe Le Pew. I didn't watch that video.
Dude, look it up, motherfucker.
That cartoon.
It's a good joke. Don't make me like explain my
jokes.
Well,
I had to have you explain it.
Don't make me explain my jokes to you.
And there may be people out there listening who didn't watch it.
They know what the fuck I'm talking about. But my point is, they need to be able to associate with girls, man. Mm-hmm. And you worry about your smell. You worry about everything. And I know you could chirp me all you want, but the guys will fucking message me and they'll be like, you're goddamn right. Yeah. So just remember that.
Well, dude, I went to a public school. Dude,
I know you act like you went to a fancy lad. Act like a fucking fancy lad all the fucking time. And that's why I got to put you down. But you really like grinded it. So like, I don't want to put you down all the time, but you forced me to do it. So fuck you.
You couldn't have handled yourself at Parkway North where I went. I don't know if you could have handled that.
I was fucking challenging. That was embarrassing.
How's the canned dips going? Oh, yeah.
Great.
How many flavors are there? Five. Can you name them? Wintergreen, mint, American spice, citrus.
I like the American
and
spice.
And mango.
I like the American spice, man. Like, I like it. I put it in the morning. I chill. Like, it's not stuck in my goddamn teeth. Kate makes out with me on daily, hourly, minutely basis now.
Minutely.
I'm like, Kate, let's have a fucking make out session. Like, let's do this. We make
and
out.
She's
like,
just leave your Canada dip in there.
She's like, leave the fucking, I want to taste that mango on you. I'm like, fucking right, girl. We make out all fucking day. That's what we do. No, we do make out once in a while, only when we're making sexual intercourse. Because if you're making out with your girl in sexual intercourse, that means you're really into it. Otherwise, it's just like, no. But then I put mango in, and then we have a make out session. She's like, fuck yeah, let's do this for another 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's good. Yeah. Everything's good.
That's good, man. And again, the best part about candidates is, everything that you said, you kind of distracted
me. The make-out
sesh
during
sex?
Is that what I'm saying?
It's 100% American-grown hemp.
Do you know what I'm saying with that, though?
I do. It's 100% American-grown hemp.
God dang right.
The little pouches, you know what they're made out of? Coconut fiber. Coconut fiber.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's good for the environment, too. And it's healthy for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not messy. It's not gross. Anybody,
I feed it to my cat.
Anybody who's still chewing, listen. This is the best alternative on the market right now. It is. There's nothing even close to it.
Listen.
There's nothing even close. And right now you mentioned the promo code Cam and Strick. You'll save 50% off of the California
deal. That's
roll.
A fucking big deal.
Now you're like, what's the California roll? It's not sushi, man. It just gives you an opportunity to get all five different flavors. Then you can pick out which flavor you like the most. And then you just go from there, okay?
Guys are...
Find the one that you like most.
Guys are messaging me all the fucking time. And they're like, Cam, how you doing with it? I'm like, I'm doing good. I still chew the Grizzly here and there. When I have a big meal, I still do it then. But when I'm driving, when I'm on the radio, when I'm on, excuse me, podcasts, I put the can of dips in, gets the flavor. It chills me out, Andy. It really does.
www.canadipscbd.com.
Yeah.
www.canadipscbd.com. Get yours today and let us know how it's going, man. I know, you know, by the time you order it and get it delivered to your house, whatever, it takes a couple days, you should be getting it now.
Yeah.
Let us know how it's working for you because we're curious. Go ahead and send us a message.
I got my messages open, baby.
All right. Keep it handsome, baby. Keep it handsome. Keep it handsome.
I always keep it handsome, dude. I got new clothes now. I got so much things on the go to where I haven't bought clothes in a while, and I've been wearing the same fucking shoes. I look kind of homeless sometimes, where people are like, oh, Cam, you're so popular. You're rich. Oh, but I look at your shoes, but you look fucking homeless. I'm like, ah, that's right. I do look homeless. Kate bought me new shoes and stuff, so I look, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, that's right. I look classy as shit, and that's what we want to do. Mm. Classy.
Yeah, you want to be classy.
Yes.
You also want to help people, man. And there are kids that could certainly use it. That's why we fight the ugly.
True that.
A portion of the proceeds from those hoodies, those sick-ass hoodies, you see us in the videos wear these hoodies.
Oh, my.
Cam wears it every single day except today.
I need a white one.
Yeah.
And I need a white one.
We got some hats coming, too. Yeah.
Oh,
with our friends over at Keep It Handsome. So all you Canadians up there, all y'all.
I feel bad for them.
You know what? You can order these hats out of Canada. You're not going to have to pay that crazy shipping fee and all that, which we apologize for. So new hats coming out through Keep It Handsome. Merco flat out getting it done.
Badass.
But again, these Fight Ugly hoodies, man, it goes back to the Montreal Resource Center. A portion of the proceeds do. And it fights the bullies that are out there. We're all about the anti-bullying. So again, you know what it's all about. You've heard us talk about Keep It Handsome forever. But it's the beard moisturizer. That's what I use the most.
Andy.
Makes me smell. Stop smell lying. Good.
Stop
it.
Stop now. Stop lying to people.
No, I do use
it. Stop it.
I use it every day.
Why are you wasting it?
What do you mean?
Because it smells. Okay, fine, it smells good, but it's not helping
you. No, it's like aftershave,
too. You need a beard, though.
No, you can use it as aftershave. But the shampoo, the conditioner.
Jamie could use
it. The head balm you can use, the sculpting paste, the gels. Dude, try it all.
It's good stuff. And again, smelling handsome is completely different. And it's smelling like fruity.
Should we change the website? Mirko, change it to smellinghandsome.com, okay? Yeah, it is. But it's all about keeping it handsome, and that's what we do. Mirko, flat out getting it done. Let's talk about Dan Bellman.
Ooh.
Bellman.com.
What's up?
All out in Troy, Missouri. Let me tell you something. It's not
beautiful,
that
Troy.
It's so close to St. Louis. I drove out there recently. I was there in like 15 minutes, man.
Dude, there's restaurants out there and
from
shit.
From downtown. It's right there.
Make a trip out of it. Go do your
Take
thing.
The
Take
wife,
your
have
time.
A day trip.
That's what I said. Take the wife and like go cruise around. Go stop by a couple restaurants.
You can drop her off at the Cadillac Buick GMC.
She can walk in by herself.
And you go across the street into the Chrysler. Hey, listen, I'm going to go check out the Jeep. See this little pink two-door Jeep with small wheels Cam and Andy have been talking about?
Yeah.
Go check that out. Drop you off. You can go check out an Escalade. Maybe look at a Yukon, whatever it is.
Well, you're safe walking in there.
Oh, my God, you're beyond safe.
Well, it's like you could be like, okay, go ahead and do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do this.
And kids, you stay there. You're fine.
The kids could go look shop for cars when they're 16, and then people aren't going to rip them off. They're like, oh, hey, kids, here, I'll give you a jungle gym or something. Like, they're sweethearts.
Yes.
They're not weirdos. Mm-hmm. Your wife will feel safe. Like, nothing worse than, like, dropping your wife off.
And if you have a used car or an old car that's sitting around, you don't know what to do with it, they want it.
Yeah.
They'll buy it from you.
My girl
buy it
does,
fast.
Actually.
It's an easy transition, man. The paperwork is easy. They make it so easy.
That's the
best customer service ever, and they've got some sick-ass cars, too.
Yeah, my wife needs to do that, but if she needs to go out there by herself and like just do that, like I feel comfortable. It's not like a guy's out there like, what are you doing tonight, girl? Shut up. These guys are classy, they're cool, and they're great for St. Louis, by the way.
No, they're the best. All right, let's get to the interview. Rick DiPietro, man, former first overall pick. Grew up in the USA program and played in the Olympics too, man. I mean, listen, he had some bright moments.
Cool cat, man.
A lot of adversity throughout his career, and he talks about it here on the Cam and Strick podcast.
What Ricky! Up? What up, dude?
I know some of the boys you played with in the U.S. program, and I just texted them. I said, hey, listen, we've got Ricky DiPietro coming on. And they're all saying, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Like what? He was fun to hang with? Or
oh,
what?
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
what,
yeah.
What guys are you talking about, Andy?
Well, Como.
Oh, yeah, 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 okay.
Connor Dunlop, who's here in town, good buddy of mine, too, so, man. So
the U.S. program, was that cool?
The U.S. program was unbelievable. I after we were done with it, I'm surprised that it was still in existence, the way we acted in the first couple of years.
Why?
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 I think you. I mean, Connor Dunlop was one of the main culprits.
Ooh.
You know, we came in, you know, 15, 16 years old, billet families.
Oh God.
You know, I came from, you know, a private school in Boston, St. Sebastian. So by the time I got there, I mean, my classes were ceramics, independent study photography. so we spent quite a bit of time on the golf course, the driving range. We all had cars, and it was like we all finally had freedom. It was crazy.
Ceramics.
Dude, you're like treated like rock stars then. So would you go to a little like all-boys school or what?
Yeah, oh boy, that was my first. That was my first. Leaving home and going to Ann Arbor to Huron High was my first time being in a school with girls. So it was like a kid, like I didn't, like my head was going to explode.
That's what I'm saying, Andy.
I know.
That's what I'm saying.
I know. But listen, were you guys the first birth year to go to the U.S. program? Weren't you guys the first ones to ever start it, or were you the second year?
No, we were the first year. We were the younger, so there was an older team, and we were the younger team. So we were the first, those two teams were the first year of the program.
Wow.
We were the initial guys. Yeah, and it was a mess. It was a mess.
You guys walked in like fucking peacocks, like, we're the best, you're the worst, we're the... Was it weird, though? Like, okay, and I always like talk to guys, like, in St. Louis is different. I went to a public school. You have city kids, you got hillbillies, you got wealthy, you got women, you got this, you got that, and you just learn how to... You just learn things with everybody around you. But you go into a little boys' school, and you're around boys all the time, and all of a sudden... You got a little confidence, and you're around girls all the time. Like, how'd you? Was it weird? Like, be honest. Was it weird to interact with females every single day?
I didn't know what to do with myself. You should have seen me roll in. Like, I had no idea how to dress. I came in with like some some gross sneakers with like ankle socks and like trying to think I'm cool because I'm one of the U.S. development program. Yep. And one of the girls was like, "What are you wearing right now? Like, you look ridiculous." So she had to take me out and buy me clothes. At the time, I think it was like. Like we went shopping at Abercrombie and she hooked me up with like all these new shirts and jeans and everything else and I thought I was like the coolest kid in school and then all of a sudden the other kids that were like the athletes at the high school, Dunny will tell you these stories too. They were all jealous that we came in and Dunny and the boys thought it was a good idea to paint on the school rock. There was this big giant school rock that you could paint and you could put like any of the teams could put like an announcement of a game they were playing or whatever it is. And the guy thought it was a good idea to go late at night and paint the school rock in USA colors and write,
yeah,
jealousy and envy will get you nowhere.
Ooh.
That went over well.
Oh, geez.
I know. See, that's so unlike Dunny. He's so reserved nowadays.
Is this the same guy we're talking about?
The father of three. It's so funny. He was good, too. Like, did you know you were like a like, how good were you when you showed up to the program? Did you develop into being a phenom? And being the first overall pick, or were you already kind of on the radar and well-known when you first got there?
I think I was on the radar. I don't know if I think Jeff Jackson took a chance on me. I didn't have a very good tryout. Like, the phenoms were, Andy Hilbert, Freddie Meyer, like all the guys I played with had already committed to going to the program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when they were telling me about it, they're like, we're going to go live in Ann Arbor. We got this unbelievable locker room. You get free equipment. It's going to be amazing. And I was like, really? Like, I want to do that. And then finally I got the invite to go try out, and I had an awful tryout. And I remember being, talking to my parents. I was crying at the time. Like, I was terrible. There's no chance I made this team. And then for some reason, Jeff Jackson took a chance and put me on the team. And then, it was from there on, and that point, that kind of it springboarded me towards the rest of my career.
So you're – okay, the USA program, you're there. Everybody kind of looks up to you guys. I mean, like, what do you do all day? So you go to school. Are you walking to school like, fucking, I got sick fucking hair. I had an awesome fucking game. Like, are you like, explain your setup. Did you have to go to school? Do people take care of you? Can you go to the bar and they take care of you there? Like, do you have to hide? Like, explain that setup.
The bar. Like, what are you, like, in 10th grade?
Well, how old are you? You're 18. You're still 17,
no,
18,
no,
19,
no,
right?
16,
right?
Yeah, okay. I was 15 when I left.
Yeah, okay.
I was a junior. I went to my junior year. I was 15 when I left, 16 or so when the year started. It was me and I had a roommate in my first billet house, which was craziness. I don't want to start telling you stories about that.
No, I know, because I've been through that too. I've been through that too. No, I get it. The people that should know billets, they love you, and they might love you a little too much at times.
It got a little awkward. They had some kids. Yeah, it got a little bit weird sometimes, but it's fine. I mean, I give them credit. They housed us and everything else. But no, it was weird initially because it was tough. Like, we were the new kids coming in, right in the middle of of high school, and everyone kind of knew who we were. So, you know, early on it was a little uncomfortable, but then, you know, we kind of found our way. But we didn't walk around. I mean, I hope we didn't, at least. I mean, there were a couple, like Hainsey. Ron Hainsey's a perfect, like, Ron Hainsey would walk around stone cold stunning people and stuff like that. But
I know, dude. Listen, that was my next question, Ricky. Like, if I would have told you about if everybody on that team that Ron Hainsey would be the last man standing and, like, go on to play over 1,100 games, like, would you ever believe me?
Never. No, never. I tell him, I talked to him not too long ago, and I said, I said, what are you doing? Are you done? He's like, well, you know, I was thinking about it. I was like, what do you mean you were thinking about it? If they want to sign you, you sign. He's like, I don't know. I was like, this is amazing. If you would have told me the exact thing you just said, if you would have told me back then, pick out the one guy that would have the longest NHL career, I don't think anyone at the program would have picked him.
I know. Nobody was
fucking doing it, though, man.
So why'd you choose BU? Like, who else was recruiting you? Like, were you getting letters every single day going on visits? Like, what attracted you to become a Terrier?
Well, I mean, growing up in Winthrop, I would always go to the Beanpot. So it was really those. It was BU, BC, Harvard, in Northeastern, the Beanpot. But it was BU, BC, and Harvard that I was interested in. I actually went on a recruiting visit with – I got a great Dunny story, too, for a recruiting visit.
Nice.
The coolest part of the program was that when we were being recruited, we get to go on our official visits with other guys from the team. So I went to Notre Dame with Dunny and John Michael Lyles. I almost actually decided to go to Notre Dame because I liked it that much. And then it came down to Harvard, BU, and BC, and me and Dunny got to go to a visit to BC together. So we show up, and, you know, you've seen the movies and heard the stories about, like, what an official visit was supposed to be like. So, you know, Dunny and I show up. They put us, you know, with the group of guys that are going to show us around, and we're sitting there in their dorm room, and we're like, okay, so, you know, when do we get to go out? And they're like, go out? It's Tuesday night. We're not going out. It's like, well, this is our official visit. Like, are we supposed to go out? So finally, you know, we wore them down, and they took us out, which was a mistake. So they take us out. We're having a good time. And before you know it, I got all banged up. I end up, it was either get arrested or sent to the hospital. So I wake up at, like, I don't know, 5 o'clock in the morning, puking everywhere, not knowing where I am. And I look over, and it's my mom, my dad, and the assistant coach.
Oh!
Sitting in the hospital room. So I was all banged up. My mother couldn't believe it. She's like, you drink? I can't believe you drink.
Oh, you're one of those guys, Ricky.
Yes.
You're one of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
You hide everything from your parents. So would you have alcohol poisoning, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was all banged up, alcohol poisoning. Jesus. So I had a meeting that day, that afternoon, with the head coach. So this was like 2-3 in the afternoon. I was still puking. I was still that hungover. And we walk in. I was like, where's Dunny? And they're like, oh, you didn't hear? I said, no, I've been in the hospital. What happened? Oh, he's actually at the hospital, too.
Oh,
I said, what? He said, yeah, he fell out of the top bunk and hit his face on the desk and has to go get stitches.
Oh, my
cake
God.
Eaters. That's the definition. That's
amazing. That's
right
amazing.
There. That's so funny.
So you didn't go there.
No, that was the second I left the hospital, I was like, there is no chance you're going to BC now.
Wow, man. That's awesome. But at least, hey, you know what? Yeah, that's a great story to
Donner's
tell.
Donner's going to be pissed at you, by
you
the way.
You can't make that up. No, he'll love that.
No,
he
loves that story.
Hell yeah, he man. Does.
They love all those stories. I've heard so many, man. And the Hainsey stories are the best, actually. They're hilarious. I wish we could tell those stories. We got to get him on here one of these days.
We will.
And John Michael Lyles, you mentioned him, man. He's a cool-ass dude, too.
Yeah.
What was your signing bonus? Like, when you got drafted first overall to the island, like, what was your signing bonus?
Schmill.
Like, what was your reaction to going first overall? Like, heading into the draft, like, were you a slam dunk to go first overall? Were you shocked by it? What were your thoughts going into the draft?
I was shocked, to be honest. I mean, it was, I think, you know, I had a good World Juniors, and then because of where I fell, my birthday fell, I had to make a decision whether or not to opt into the draft. I think it was like 4 or 5 days I missed the day by. And I love BU, and I didn't want to leave. But, you know, after the World Juniors, I was rated fairly high. So, you know, we had to have conversations with my agents. Like, listen, you gotta take advantage of this opportunity. And it was me, it was Heatley, and it was Gaborik kind of being tossed around for those top three picks.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the Islanders already had Luongo, and they had Weeksy. So the entire time we're like, there's no way. I mean, they just drafted Luongo. He's the next guy. Like, there's no way they would draft a goalie. And then as we got through the process, like by the night before the draft, you know, my agent started having conversations with the Islanders, and it seemed like I would go first overall. So it was kind of like that night we kind of knew. And then, I mean, just to sit there in Calgary on that day to hear your name call was gives me chills even talking about it. It was an amazing day.
What'd you do then? So who was there? Your family, maybe some of your billets, or maybe close people, and you're there. Like, what'd you do that night? Like, you know, you're like, okay, first of all, like, I'm fucking guaranteed $1 million right off the bat. Whether I play a game or not, like, you know, that's in the back of your mind. Like, what'd you do that night?
Yeah, here's the funny part, though, is that we didn't even really celebrate that night. Like, my parents celebrated. Like, they were all – they went out and had a good time, and I didn't think it was a good idea at the time to, like, to have, you know, all the GMs. I'm sure they would be out that night to see me, you know, underage walking around drinking and everything else. So we just kind of hung out. It was actually me, Hainsey, and a couple buddies just hung around the hotel and didn't go out. Because, I mean, that was the best part of that whole draft, and getting drafted and everything was the best. But the funniest thing, and me and Hainsey were talking about that night, is when Hainsey got drafted by the Canadians, and I'm sitting in the back room, and it's like, okay, you know, you're done doing your pictures and everything else, come meet the New York media. And it was like one guy. So we're sitting there talking, and on the TV I see Hainsey, and he gets drafted by the Canadians, and they're asking him questions, and they're like, so Ron, how do you see yourself on this team? He's like, you know, I just come in and you know, play a good two-way game, quarterback the power play, you know.
And he's got 100 media people there.
Who was quarterback in the power play at the time, too?
J.J. Daniel or something?
Oh boy, the Russian cat that played forever. I forgot his name.
Oh, Markov or whatever?
Markov, yeah. Markov's like, go fuck yourself, kid.
Exactly. The Cam and Strick podcast is brought to you by CarShield. You know, nothing more frustrating, Cam, than when that engine light comes on, and you know, right off the bat, you're going to have to spend thousands of dollars to repair your vehicle. Call 800-857-2481. Mention the promo code CAM or visit carshield.com and use the code CAM to save 10%. Yeah. That's carshield.com. A deductible may apply. Save yourself money. Cam. Sign up and get your coverage now with carshield.com. Cam. Now back to the interview.
That's great, man.
Hey, I want your honest opinion here, Ricky, though. Like, Mike Milbury, man, he's such a lightning rod of an individual. Like, nobody really knows this guy except for the people who obviously have been around him, work with him, whatever. What was your first impression of him? And like, what was he truly like? Is he a dick? Is he a nice guy? Like, give me your honest opinion.
I really liked him. I mean, it was really Mike that was the one that kind of believed in me and was the one that pushed the draft me with the first overall pick. I mean, until you really get to know him, I mean, he comes off a little harsh to a lot of people, but I think that's kind of his philosophy. He would always say, like, you want to stab him and then put a Band-Aid on it before he bleeds out. Like, he wants to kind of, like, ruffle your feathers, to toughen you up, and then he'll kind of, you know, give you a hug. But, I mean, me and him used to go back and forth. Like, I mean, there was one time in Bridgeport where we had just played till, like, I think it was June 10th. We lost in game five of the Calder Cup finals, and we came back to Bridgeport, and we're all just gassed, long season.
Yeah.
And we have our end of the year meeting, and he comes in, and we're expecting, like, hey, you know, we're a young team. You guys had a great season, you know, made it all the way to the finals, lost to a really good Chicago Wolves team. I think we lost in double overtime, and it was the complete opposite. It was like he went one by one. He was like, you're terrible. DiPietro. What happened to you? You got dominated by the other goalie. He handles the puck better than you. And, like, just, like, around the room. And then he was like, and you know what? We'll see you in 2 weeks at rookie camp. And we were like, what? 2 weeks in rookie camp? So then we have our one-on-one meetings, and I go back, and we're going, you know, we're having our meeting, we're going back and forth, and he said something to me, and just for some reason, like, just it snapped in my head. And I just we just went back and forth, and he was F back and forth. Ooh. And he gave me some gift, and it was like a framed picture of you know, the Islanders making the playoffs or something like that. And as I walked out, I was like, hey, thanks for the gift. And I threw it on the floor and I broke it.
Whoa. Damn,
and as I'm walking out, Trent Hunter's the next up to do a meeting, and he looks at me, he's like, are you serious? Why would you do that before my meeting? And it was like right, like at that day, for some reason, like the fact that I went back at him, kind of like I guess I earned his respect a little bit, and we had a really good relationship.
That's how you have to handle those people.
Up. Oh, like, thanks, Andy. Like, tell me how to do
well,
it.
Well, sometimes people who are bullies who try to, like, you know, whatever.
Put your foot down.
Sometimes you got to put your foot down. You got to fight back, and they put their tail between their legs.
Sometimes they do. But if you do that with certain guys that have been in the game a long time, too, that could backfire on you as well. You just got to sit there and suck it up and be a fucking man. Like, no, I got you. Fine. Okay. No, there's different ways, Andy. Different ways. But by the, I know. Hey, isn't that hilarious?
But when you're the first overall pick.
With beautiful hair. With fucking beautiful hair like you do.
You throw the picture on the floor.
When you went to Abercrombie, you're probably like, dude, I can model for this fucking company, by the way. You should have done that. Who are you kidding?
Hey, do you have the long hair right now or the short hair?
Yeah, what do you look like right now? Do you still look good?
No, I look like a homeless person right now. I haven't had a haircut in like 11 months. Well, you've been quarantined in this house.
You're trying to look
all buttoned. Yeah, but when people have good hair, they say that, but it looks really good.
Well, and then like he looks all buttoned up. I've seen you on ESPN.
He is,
Don't let them do that to you, Ricky. Okay?
Hey, Cody, let me ask you this, though. Okay, so you're in the island. You're a young kid. Who's on that team, by the way? Like, who do you, like, connect with? Like, what are you doing? Is Long Island fun? Did you go to the city? Are you single? Like, fucking set that up for me, man.
All right, I'll set it up for you. So I get to Long Island, and, you know, a lot of people, I mean, you guys know this. Like, for a long time, like, the, you know, people thought Long Island Islanders, they saw the Coliseum and the Marriott. So they thought the island, like, this place is brutal. But, I mean, you get to live there. I mean, it's a great place, man. You got the city right there. You got golf and everything else. So I showed up, and my first roommate at camp was Dave Scatcherd.
Oh, so, good, great guy.
Yeah, so he was my first roommate. And then when I finally got called up for the second half of that season, I actually lived with Steve Webb, which anyone that knows Webby was awesome. Once you figure out what he's saying, it was the best experience.
They loved him in Windsor, man. He crushed guys, dude. I remember he was before my time. But go ahead.
Oh, no, he destroys people. Like, he's one of the toughest, nicest guys you've ever met in your entire life. One of the funniest guys, best guys to be around. He took care of me. And then that year was, like, we were a real veteran team. Like, I had my road roommate, I think, was Craig Berube on the road.
Wow.
Was chief, which was awesome.
How cool was he back then?
He must have had 800 games then. How did he room with you? That's so weird to think about.
Well, I think it was on purpose. I think it was like the reason, like, I was a young kid and it was like kind of like, you know, put him with the veteran guy to kind of show him the way. Well, he was hysterical, man. I loved him. He tried to fight me one night because we took him to a Japanese steakhouse and we were having dinner, and I thought it'd be a good idea to tell the wait staff that it was his birthday. So all of a sudden at the end of dinner they come out with like this big, all these sparklers and like this flaming coconut and put like this sumo hair hat on his head and they're all singing and dancing in his face. And he got up and he slammed down the thing. I'd never seen him so pissed off.
Oh, he was
no teeth. He's got no teeth either.
He was pissed?
Oh, he was pissed. I thought he was going to fight me right at the restaurant.
Oh,
he was so mad.
He's the fucking best.
Oh, he
man.
Is, man. I can't wait to tell him that you just told that story. He'll laugh his ass off. Everybody loves Chief, man.
Dude, he's a pimp here, man.
When you play with these guys, Ricky, and then you see them move on to become head coaches, like, how do you look at these guys? Like, do you say, oh, my God, he's a head coach? Or do you say, wow, yeah, I could see this guy being a head coach?
Yeah.
No, I knew, like, even just spending time with him, like, in the room, you know, leading up to games and stuff, just hearing him talk, like how he would break down the game. And like I always thought if that was something he wanted to do, he would do it. And like you guys said, like everyone loved him. Like he had the respect of everybody in the locker room. So it was as soon as he got the job, I wasn't surprised at all that the guys would play for him the way they played for him.
So you're a young kid and you're in Long Island. And like, again, when you play in Long Island, you stay in that little crappy hotel. You walk over. I say hi to the fans. Most people get in a fucking, they take the bus 2 seconds over there. But I say hi to the fans. But that area is not fun. There's nothing much to do. When you go to the island, you're not doing much as far as being an opposing team. But you're a young kid there. You got coin. Like, are you going into the city all the fucking time? And are you, like, because when you go into the city and you're committed, that's a night out, dude. Like, you're not getting back for a long time. Like, did you get caught up in that?
We went. I mean, listen, the first couple years it was cool. Yeah, it was like any time we got a chance to shoot into the city, we would. But, I mean, the problem was we played for the Islanders. It wasn't the same as playing for the Rangers. Like, we had, like, I'll never forget, we had a rookie party. And we went out to this beautiful dinner in the city, and then we try to get into a club, and we come walking up like, hey, this is going to be no big deal with the New York Islanders, you know, entire team. And the bouncers look at us like, you know, who the hell are you guys?
Oh.
And our captain was like, oh, no, we're the Islanders. We're here for a rookie party. And he's like, yeah, and? So,
yeah, we're going to spend $100,000, dick.
Yeah, so we had we had to go like pay the money for us to get in, and we had a good time, but it was like it was just a little bit different. But no, the city was great, but we didn't get in there as much as you would have thought we would have.
All right, man.
They let us in with the Devils, but whatever.
Oh, yeah, right. He said he was Marty.
Oh, I love it, man.
All right, let's dig right into this. All right, the 15-year contract.
Yeah.
I mean, people think Rick DiPietro, they think about the 15-year contract. What was your reaction, Ricky, the first time you heard the 15-year number, that term? Like, were you like, what? Is this real? Like, who presented that to you? Fill us in. Like, tell us that story, how that came about.
All right, so the year before, it was actually presented to us. It was something I never forget, I got a phone call from my agent, and I had told him the entire time. I said, once we get to a point where, you know, I have the potential to be a free agent, I said, I don't want to be a free agent. I want to be an Islander for life. That was important to me. So the year before we actually did the deal, he got the phone call, called me, and said, you know, how do you feel about a 15-year contract? I said, what? He said, you know, in order with the new salary cap and everything else, the way we could make this work, they think, is to do a 15-year deal. I said, I mean, if that's something they're serious about doing, it's something we should talk about. So we went back and forth, and numbers were thrown around and everything else. And finally we said, yeah, we'll do the 15-year deal. It went back to ownership, and the Islanders, I guess they presented it to the league. League said, no, we can't do 15 years. So it was, at that point, we thought it was dead. Next year comes around, we play out the season, and they bring back the 15-year deal. This time, it was like, you know, going back and forth, talking with the owner, and finally we came up with a number. He presented it to the league. They said yes. And, of course, I mean, you get the phone call, hey, we're all good, 15-year deal. It was like, okay, where do I sign? This is a no-brainer.
But why wouldn't they just sign you for, like, a 5-year deal? Like, I don't get it. Like, why?
AAV. The AAV. They wanted to buy out as many free agent years as possible and keep my number as low as possible.
And did you Rick? Like, could you sign a 15-year deal, man? Do you feel do you feel the weight of the entire organization on your shoulders, or were you like, this is unbelievable? Yeah. Tell me about the pressure.
Well, from the second they traded Roberto Luongo and drafted me first overall, I mean, that was the second the pressure started. Mm-hmm. I mean, to come in knowing that, you know, you just traded. I mean, it's Roberto Luongo. I mean, we've all seen how his career turned out. So the pressure started there, and then, you know, you get a 15-year deal. I mean, it's 15 years, and trying to explain to people why it was a 15-year deal, isn't always the easiest thing to do. They just see that it's 15 years and the amount of money. But yeah, I mean, the second I signed that, I knew there'd be pressure, but you know, I was more focused on having the security of the 15-year deal, and on top of it, having the ability for the team to kind of, you know, do whatever they needed around me to make sure that we could try to win a championship, because that was what it was all about. I mean, the 15-year deal just made it so my number would stay flat the entire 15 years.
Hey, let's talk about the new Bud Light Seltzer.
Oh, yeah.
It's an easy drinking hard seltzer that comes in four delicious fruit flavors. Mm. Black cherry, ooh, strawberry, yes, lemon lime, and Cam's favorite, mango.
Oh, mango.
With only 100 calories, 5% alcohol, and less than a gram of sugar, mm-hmm, you might as well have a few tonight or this weekend. Mm. Go to BudLight.com to buy Bud Light Seltzer online. Must be 21 years of age or older. Bud Light Seltzer, unquestionably good.
Yeah.
Now, back to the interview.
What'd you do with that? What'd you do with your first? I guess the money didn't come at huge right off the bat because it was spread out so much, but were you like, God damn, I'm fucking set. Like, what do I buy now? Like, what am I going to do? Like, did you look at big houses where you're like, fuck, I'm into toys now. I want to get this fucking, I'm into cars. I'm going to get a Corvette. I like boats. Do you mind go crazy because you know you're guaranteed this fucking money for a long time?
Yeah, I made all those mistakes. I mean, you know this. I mean, when you're sitting around, you're done. I mean, you practice for what, 3-4 hours a day, and then you get home and you're sitting around and you're bored a little bit, and you're like, what can I buy? Let's start looking. And you buy. I mean, you name it. I mean,
what were you buying?
Like what? You name it. Tell me.
Well, I bought myself a nice house. I bought my dad. My dad wanted to come down and live in Long Island, so I got him a house. I may have bought, you know, a car that was a mistake. I've done that.
What kind of car? What kind of car, Rick?
Because I did the same fucking thing with a Corvette.
I bought myself a Bentley, which was a mistake.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Ooh, why, yeah, that was a mistake.
Why was that a mistake?
Because
too expensive or what?
Is it new?
Yeah, it was new because it's a money. Like the second you drive it off the lot, it's not worth. I mean, it's worth half as much of what you bought it for. I didn't drive it anywhere. I mean, I'm in the Northeast. It snows. It was ridiculous. It was a waste of money. Yeah. Cars are such a waste of money.
Like, what do you tell kids now, though? Like, and I know you're coaching kids and
he's
whatever.
He's not done telling us what he bought.
But I'm curious what you would tell kids, like if they're making big time money. Like, are you just you live and learn, or like, would you tell them don't make the same mistake?
No, dude, I tell them don't make the same mistakes, man. I mean, I've been through so much good and bad with my career, all the ups and downs, and all you can do is give advice. I mean, they ask me questions, I give them advice, and, sometimes they have to make their own mistakes, but, I mean, trust me, I made plenty of those mistakes.
So, hey, here's what I'd say. When you're young and you make money, like, you want to show it off to everybody because you're young and all your buddies that you're associated with don't make any money. So, you're like, I want to get the best of the best, but in reality, you don't need that. When you start making money for a long time and you're like, you figure out what you like to do and that's what you spend your money on. Who gives a fuck what you don't need a badass car to look cool. But when you're young, though, you want to buy everything that's hip. You got your buddies talking in your ear, get this thing, get that thing. It's you're in a fantasy world.
Well, yeah, and plus, it's also taking care of your buddies. I mean, that's the first thing. The second I got drafted first overall, when I got back to Boston, the first thing I did was take – I got two buddies since I was, 8 years old. And I'll never forget, we went to the Copley Plaza in Boston, and, I went to the we're shopping. I went to the ATM to take out money, and I was like, yeah, let's just check the balance just so I see how much I have. And it was like – it must have been like the week that the first check got cashed into my account. So I look at the balance, and my buddy's face is almost like their jaws almost hit the ground when they saw the amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, holy. So, of course, I had to take out money. I took them shopping. We went to the Boss store, bought them all a bunch of stuff and everything else. But, stuff like that, taking them on vacation. But you're absolutely right. Like, for some reason in your head, when you first get the money, it's like now all of a sudden you can buy whatever you want. And that's when you start making, these, like, I want to buy the fancy suits and I want to buy, the fancy watch and the fancy car. And then when you're done, you're like, God, all that stuff was so stupid.
I know. It's like you'll find your hobbies and then you just simplify. That's what I tell the kids. Just simplify your money. Like, simplify your life. Get the nice car, but don't get five of them off the bat, even if you don't work on cars. So why have five of them? Like, it's just, you're just too much shit going on. Ugh, anyway, me and you could talk forever with that shit.
Well,
buddy.
So let me ask you this, though, because like, you had the 15-year contract, you're making the money. Did it ever get to the point, though, that you weren't okay financially? Because you still have the money coming in till like 28, 29. You're like Bobby fucking Bonilla. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, which is unbelievable. I want to talk about that, too. But did it ever get to the point where you weren't okay financially, where it was a bad situation for you?
No, not even close to that point. Like, I'm lucky. Like, I have, my dad who takes, is taking a role in, trying to, especially early on, like, making sure we had, between him and my agent, having the right people handle the money and everything else. It was just a bunch of stupid little things. It was like the car, and then like, hey, what's a good idea? Let's go buy an Orange County chopper, because that's a good idea.
You don't even ride them, but you're going to get one.
No, I know. I wrote it. I was like, this is cool. I wrote it. And for some reason, I thought it was a good idea. I've never ridden a chopper before, to go up and pick it up and then drive it all the way back to my house.
Crazy.
I've never ridden a chopper before. So that's in the garage. That's a nice piece of furniture now, too.
Twister would say it's a good idea.
Yeah, Twister would tell you. Ask him about his, the accident. He
still rides, though.
Yeah, but he's tougher than dog shit. That guy's a machine. Hey, do you ever, do you ever sit there? You're doing your radio show. You're making money. You're happy. Your life. And all of a sudden, you're like, you forget that you got 1.5 coming every single year, and you look at your bank account, and you're like, motherfucker, 40 fucking G's.
Is that
is that a
direct deposit? Like, how do you get paid?
No, listen, we never had direct deposit. We just started getting direct deposit. We used to have to cash checks. We were one of the last teams to get direct deposit.
Like, do you ever like just think, oh, fuck yeah. I got that coming in every fucking 2 weeks.
Since you're in New York, though, have you met Bonilla? Have you ever talked to him about this?
I've never met him. No. We saw like on the radio. We have all the Mets fans calling and celebrating.
I know, that's awesome.
Do you like being on the radio? By the way, you must love it because you got a great personality. Like, we evaluate so many different guys. We have so many different guys coming on. Andy gets this is not just like, oh, we pick out of a hat. Like, we kind of like do our research on shit. But man, like, do you like being on the radio out there? Like, you doing good? You kick your feet up? Like, fuck, you got a good gig going.
No, I love it, man. It was something like I feel blessed because I had no idea. Like, I was torn up. Like, when I had to make the decision to be done and retire, like, I had no idea. I was lost because in my mind it was too soon. Like, I had this whole thing planned out. Like, I would play till you know, I was this age. Once I was done, you know, hopefully there'd be a Stanley Cup involved. And then from there, I would move on to, you know, be a part of the organization, and I'd either be coaching or I'd be in the front office. Like, yeah, it was all planned out. And then, you know, that goes sideways. I have to, you know, have to walk away. And I'm sitting in the car with my father-in-law, and he's like, what are you going to do? And I was like, I have no idea. And I had a buddy of mine who worked for Newsday that would cover the Islanders. And it just so happened, I'm listening to the radio, and I never really listened to sports talk radio before, but for some reason I had it on, and I hear him on the radio. And I was like, oh, that's Alan. And they asked some, like, silly hockey question or something. Someone called in and asked the question, and for some reason I knew it. So I texted him while I was in the car with the answer. Yeah. And he brings it up. He's like, oh, yeah, my buddy Rick just texted me in the answer. And, you know, as he's finishing up, he texts me. He's like, hey, you should come in and try this. I think you'd like it. And I was like, no way. Like, there's no way the Islanders fans and people listening like are going to respond well to me at all. He's like, listen, stop.
Oh, you thought that. You thought that, though, Ricky, though. You thought that the fans. Yeah, man, because they're hardcore out there. So you thought when you were retiring, you're like, I'm going to hide away. Because we see Blues players do this, too, mm-hmm. where they'll hide if they didn't have a good. But now you come back and you're like, damn, I'm nervous about this. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's how I felt. Because I didn't like, listen, personally, I didn't like how it ended. Like, I felt awful about how it ended. Like, I felt like, you know, the whole thing was a failure, so I could only imagine how fans feel. So finally I decided, you know what, screw it, let's just try it. And we did a night show, and, you know, we would sign off. Okay, we're going to keep doing this until they kick us off. And this was like, okay, we went a week, and then we went another week. And I just kept doing it. I wasn't even getting paid. We just kept doing it. And then, you know, finally all of a sudden, you know, program director comes to us and says, hey, you guys want your own show? And from there, the rest is history. And now, you know, now I've been doing it for, the last, I think, 6 years or so.
Man. I know. Are you still doing the early mornings? Like, weren't you doing like 5 a.m.?
No, yeah, 5 a.m. to 8 now, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Why don't they have you on TV?
What time do you wake up?
I wake up at 2 a.m.
Like, what time are you going to bed at night? 6:30?
No, I wish 6:30. No, by the time I get the kids in bed, read them a book, probably around, you know, 7:30, I'm in bed at 8, and then hopefully, you know, with my eyes closed around, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Damn.
Oh, my God. God,
so that's morning
you're
drive,
a disciplined
man.
Motherfucker.
That's where the money is. Morning drive,
get
afternoon
that fucking
drive.
Money.
You know that. Yeah, you got to get that money, man.
He's got that money.
Give 15 years.
He's going to forget about it, and then a month's going to go by. He's like, oh, that 45 grand, baby.
Did the program director say, I have a 15-year deal for you, Ricky? Okay,
I wish.
5 a.m. Time to talk about our boy, Dan Bellman. Ooh. Bellman.com. That's with two N's, not one. BehlmannN.com. Hey, check out the new inventory. Check out the pre-owned vehicles. You looking for a Chrysler, a Dodge, a Jeep, a Ram? How about a Cadillac or a Buick GMC? All in Troy, Missouri. Get your new wheels in time for the winter. Now back to the interview.
Hey, are you doing good with the sponsors? Can I ask you a personal radio question? Because Andy and I both host radio shows every single day here in St. Louis. This is our podcast that we created, you know, a year and a half ago. We don't have fucking Barstool on our side. We don't have Sportsnet. We don't have anybody. Andy and I and our engineer right in front of me, Jamie, we pump this up, and like, we do radio and we kind of have a voice in this city. Like, is it going good for you? Do you find sponsors? Like, what's the biggest bitch of being on the radio? Imagine you didn't have the 1.5. Imagine you didn't play and you're just grinding it as a radio guy in the fucking island. Like, what's the biggest grind for you?
Like Cam does.
Dude, I'm on every fucking night. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm grinding like Cam. I would say for me, the biggest grind probably is outside of waking up at 2 a.m. is probably just trying to keep track of, in all honesty, of all the sports we got going on. Like, that's the toughest part. Like,
oh,
we got two
God.
Of everything.
You talk about so everything,
like,
though?
Like, do you watch baseball? You watch baseball?
Oh, God.
Like, dude. Every game?
Cam, we talk about everything. Here's the beauty of this. We talk about everything but hockey. We don't even talk about hockey.
That's how my show is. I have to talk about my fucking cat sometimes because I don't want to talk about goddamn Cardinal baseball. It's fucking February, and they want to talk about goddamn Yadier Molina about what? What the fuck? Oh, it drives me crazy.
So, damn.
Sorry about that.
Let's go back to your career, though, real quick. You had a bunch of injuries. But, you know, listen, the fight with Brent Johnson.
Oh, now, what a mess.
Okay, So you break your jaw. And I know Johnny, man. He broke in with the Blues as a young kid. He used to have parties back at his house back in the day.
Yeah.
But, like, how did that impact your career versus all the other injuries? Like, that incident, if that didn't happen, Ricky, would your career have played out differently?
No, I was already done at that point. I mean, at that point, I could barely get on the ice, to be honest. I mean, that was...
Because your knee?
I had a whole... I don't want to go through the whole list, but, I mean, it really ended up being my knee. Like, I had both hips, I had both knees, but then I got my hip done in Colorado. I had Philippon do my hip, and while I was there, I needed my knee fixed. So I went and saw a doctor in Colorado. He said, hey, you know, you got a meniscus. If we sew this meniscus up, rather than, you know, give you a meniscectomy and take it out, it'll help. I mean, you're a goalie. It should, you know, make your career last longer. I was like, well, if that's the case, let's do that. So he sews it up. So I got the hip and the knee on the same leg. So I'm non-weight-bearing for, like, you know, 2 months. So as I'm non-weight-bearing, just to add, you know, injury to insult, I get a blood clot in my calf.
Aye.
So I got the hip, the knee, blood clot. So finally I get through all of that and make it back. And in order to play, I had to prove to the team, like, obviously, because that's what you do, like, I got to prove that I can, you know, get through a game. So it was Florida going into the third period. I said, hey, I got to, like, I'm good. I can play the third period. I'll never forget it. Go in, tired, went down on side of the post, fell back, and it was like, I could hear the pop, and then it felt like someone turned a faucet of water onto my knee. It was just like flowing through my knee. And that was it. I blew out all the cartilage in the knee, and that was a wrap.
Dude, all these like injuries and shit, did you ever get hooked on painkillers, man? You ever fucked up on that ever?
Yeah, not hooked. I mean, it definitely wasn't bad. You know what I mean? Like, when you're dealing with all that stuff, it wasn't bad, but it was, no, I wasn't hooked on them.
Yeah, because it's everybody's different with that.
So,
for sure.
So, but the fight, though. Tell me about the fight. Like, you saw Johnny coming down. Yeah, like, so. It seemed like you were, like, ready to go. Like, you were okay with it. You took your glove off, buckets off. And then, like, when he did you not know he was a lefty? Like, did that surprise you?
No, I had no idea.
And what do you remember about laying on the ice and taking that punch?
Dude, I had no right. First of all, I had no idea he was a lefty. So going in, like, it was the way the fight started. I went, you know, I went out of the net. I was just trying to stir it up. I went out of the net. I think I elbowed Cook, and I was actually ready. I was like, you know what? I'll fight him. I was going to fight Cook. And then one of my teammates came flying and fought Cook. And then I looked down the ice, and it was, you know, it was Johnny standing there like, let's go. I was like, this is perfect. Goalie fight at center ice. What's better than this?
Yeah.
And, you know, I had fought a couple different times. And because I'm a lefty, I'm figuring, okay, he catches right. So if I can grab his right arm and have my left arm free, even if he hits me with the left, that's fine because I can land my left and we'll get this thing going.
Yep.
Little did I realize how big he was, first of all, and the fact that he knew I was a lefty and had me set up the entire time to throw the left. So the second I jumped to punch him with my left, he hit me with a sledgehammer in the temple.
Down the
and
pipe.
Then that was... Down it was pipe. Night-night termite at that
no,
point.
It's so... I'm so glad that you explained that. Good question, Andy, by the way. Because you're absolutely right. Like, he knew exactly what the fuck he was going to do against you. It was like Trevor Gilley's going against somebody because he's a lefty. Like, he knew exactly... And he knew he was longer than you. And he figured that he's going to take the chance to throw down the pipe against you and because he has longer reach. And he just caught you perfectly. That happens, man. That shit happens. But then your knees buckle.
It looked like he asked you if you were okay, though. Like, I mean,
he was cool.
He held up and like
he was cool.
Oh yeah.
What was he saying to you on the ice?
I mean, I went straight out, and then when I woke up, I thought, like, I was like so embarrassed. I wanted to keep fighting, but I felt like he had knocked my teeth in because where he punched me, he had broke my orbital bone, and because he broke my orbital bone, it severed the nerve in my cheek, so I couldn't feel my teeth on the right side. So I thought he caved them in. So I was like, oh man, I think my teeth are all busted up. So then they take me in back for an X-ray, and the best is the doctor looks at me and he goes, can you just tell me where it hurts? I said, well, what do you mean where does it hurt?
I can't feel
it. I went straight Tommy Boy on him. I was like, it doesn't, not so much here or here, like right around where my eyeball is hanging out. That's where it hurts. Let's X-ray that part.
See, it should be a fine if you break an orbital bone on a handsome fellow like Rick DiPietro like that. It should be a fine in the NHL.
Like maybe that should be criminal.
Because when you hurt your fucking orbital bone like that, like your fucking face sinks. Ask Todd Fedoruk about that, dude. Like God damn.
What was the darkest time for you, man? Like dealing with all those injuries, the contract, not having a whole lot of team success, not playing as well as you wanted to play. Like, how dark did it get for you?
It got dark, man. I'll be honest. It was tough. You know, just putting in all the work, going through all the surgeries, rehabs, and everything else, and you know, kind of getting to a point where, you know, your mind tells you, like, this is what you need to do, and, you know, being in the net or trying to even practice, and, you know, your body just doesn't respond. Like, you can't play at the level that you expect, and, you know, you're just trying to hang on, showing up early, getting treatment, warming up, and then, like, the day I got put on waivers was probably the toughest day. We were on our way to Buffalo, and I actually had flown my wife out. Maybe it was just, like, I had this weird feeling, but I don't know why I did it. But I always told my wife, like, you got to come catch a game in Montreal. It's a great place to watch the game. And so I actually flew her up to that game in Montreal to come watch. And it was on that next day, leaving for Buffalo, that I got put on waivers, and that was it. So
yeah, at least your girl's with you, though. No, at least your girl's with you, though, man. Like, my girl's
with me. Well, was she with you, or did she go straight to Montreal?
No, she was. We already had played in Montreal. So that night, we had stayed in Montreal because we were flying out the next day.
I got you.
So, like, I didn't even see it coming. So next day, I go down to breakfast, and as I'm walking onto the bus,
they tell you.
I see the GM, and he's like, hey, by the way, we're putting you on waivers.
And you're completely caught off guard. Like, you didn't see it coming at all?
Had no idea.
No idea. And but you,
no idea.
But your girl's there, so, like, at the beginning, it's like you're so embarrassed, but then you're like, at least my girl's here to, like, comfort me. And then you go down. Did you go down, and then the guys, like, fucking look up to you down there, and you're like, you know what, I'll take care of the boys and shit. Like, so,
dude,
like,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, okay. Explain that, though, because you're down and out, but then you go down there and you feel like a fucking god because the guys all look up for you, up to you, and you take care of them. Go ahead.
No, it was an amazing experience. Like, that was, like, to be completely honest, from going from college to pro, like, to try to have that same kind of locker room camaraderie that you had in college at the pro level is virtually impossible. The closest you get to that is the AHL. So my year I spent in the AHL was one of the greatest experiences of my life. So going back down and, you know, being around those guys and having a chance to take care of them, like, you know, bringing them breakfast, taking them, you know, for team dinners was an amazing experience. I mean, those guys have so much fun. I had a blast.
It makes you want to, like, work for them too, man. Like, I remember going down and just like they all kind of, you know, everybody hangs out together. No one's better than anybody. And so, like, I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll fucking fight for you guys. Like, you know, like, you're like, yeah, damn right, I'll take it. Although we're not making that much money.
I mean, you had good prospects down there too, man. Like, right? I mean, like, Brock Nelson. I think
he did.
Nino Niederreiter.
I had Nino. I had the Gills. I got to play with the Gills down there.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sick animal.
Is he not an awesome motherfucker? Real. He's an. If you go to his heritage, his great-great-great-great Vikings. Fucking leaders of Viking clans. Like, explain that animal to everybody, please.
That is one of the greatest, most loyal friends you'll ever have in your entire life.
Text me today.
Like, I could pick up the phone today and ask him to do something. He would do it. He would drop everything and do it in a heartbeat. One of the greatest people I've ever met in my entire life. Love him.
Can you come?
We're quoting that off in Senate.
Can you come chop this tree down with your bare hands?
He'll
please?
Do it. No, he'll fucking. No, he's a no, fucking warrior.
I know. Cam and Strick podcast here for Canadips.
Oh, yeah.
CannadipsCBD.com. Check it out. Check out all flavors. Have you been chewing? You know how old chew is? Get in with the new. Get in with CBD. Canadips. Check out all the flavors. Get yourself a California roll today and find out which one is best for you. Mention the promo code Cam and Strick and you'll save 50%. CannadipsCBD.com. Now back to the interview. Listen,
I got a couple more for you, but go ahead, Andy. And then we got to let him go.
Your puck handling, though. Like, that's one thing that probably led to you being the first overall pick. Most guys couldn't do what you did. And I heard stories like Como talking about how you just scream for the puck all the time on regroups and stuff. Like, just always want the puck. Like, who taught you how to handle the puck, Ricky?
First of all, I should have never been a goalie. He's 100% right. Like, we'd be killing a penalty, and I'd be screaming, like, yeah, pass it back. Like, why would you so pass confusing. It back? Like, it makes no sense. Just so I could ice it. Well, what happened is you know, I always liked playing out, but for some reason I just love the equipment. I love being a goalie. And when I was a kid growing up, my dad told me, like, hey, you love being a goalie. You love all these goalies. You should write a letter to all the different goalies that you like. So, I mean, I wrote a letter to, like, Andy Moog. I wrote, like, all these different letters. And the only letter I got back was from Ron Hextall. And Ron Hextall is one of, yeah, I mean, he's one of.
Yeah, he's been on greatest. With us, man. Awesome,
we get all
awesome
the big boys
guy.
On here, Ricky boy.
So I loved him. So from the second he sent me back that letter, he became my favorite goalie. So I wanted to be Ron Hextall. So, I mean, that's like, now I got to handle the puck. So I learned to handle the puck, and, you know, it was something I loved to do. It ended up being, you know, to my detriment sometimes. But, no, I think that was probably the reason why Mike drafted me where he did. Here's another good Mike Milbury story for you. You guys like this story. So, what you just said is probably true. Like, the reason why they drafted me, because we go, I mean, you see what Brodeur was doing. I could handle the puck. Like, oh, hey, you know, this kid can handle the puck. Maybe we should draft him. So we go to training camp in Lake Placid. Now, you know, anyone that's been in Lake Placid, it's like you're in that 80s rink. It's a big rink, and we only had, you know, a handful of people in it, like media members or whatever who's watching. So we're playing our scrimmage. And before the game, I'm like, okay, this is, don't overhandle the puck. It's all like, you're a goalie. You're a goalie, dummy. Just all you do is save the puck. If the puck goes behind the net, stop it. Give it to your D. Be smart. So first period goes by. I got a shutout going, playing well. Smart decision, puck. Second period's going on, same deal. All of a sudden, whistle blows. Milbury comes walking down the stairs to the glass, and in front of everybody, screams, "What are you doing in there?" I was like, "Well, is he talking to me? We didn't draft you to stand in the net. Get out and handle the puck." And I was like, "Okay." So you can imagine how that game turned out after he said that to me. I'm out there skating, trying to dangle through my legs like an idiot.
Oh my! That's like confusing, though.
Hey, but like people should know, though, man. Like, it wasn't all bad. Like, you played in the Olympics. Like, yeah, I mean, you had some real good years. You had some great moments. Like, it wasn't like you were a shit goaltender, man. You were obviously super, super talented and had a lot of good moments, man. So, you know, there's got to be some stuff you're real proud of, too, though, right?
I guess. I mean, I don't really – it's tough, man. I mean, it's a weird thing for me to talk about because, I mean, I don't look at it as much of a success. I kind of look more towards, you know, all the disappointing stuff, and it's the fact it didn't end really the way I wanted it to end, but – I mean, maybe as I get further away from it, you know, I'll start to look back at some of that stuff. But I think it helps having my, you know, my son now who's 5 and he wants to be a goalie. So he'll look through some of my stuff and, you know, ask me to tell him stories and stuff, which helps. But, you know, right now it's still not easy to talk about.
Dude, you got a lovely family. You're set up for a long time. You busted your ass. You got fucking knocked out. You worked your fucking ass off. Like, be proud of it, man. We all have our fucking demons. And not to mention, you're on the radio now. And I'll say this, and I've learned this for the 5 years I've been out of retirement and doing radio. Like, sometimes it's better to have fucking demons throughout your career, because then you could take advantage of it afterwards and talk about it, and people fucking understand it, and you're real. Yeah. And you're not just pumping your fucking tires up every second on interviews. At least you're real with people, man. You're one of our best goddamn interviews, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
But, like, dude, look what you're doing, man. Like, you should be proud. You kidding?
Ricky,
you grinded it, man. Now look at you.
Now go run through a brick wall.
Like, Jesus.
Okay?
I pump your fucking tires up, Ricky.
Listen.
Holy shit.
Let's talk about when the equipment trainer, he peed on your pads.
Oh,
back.
Oh yeah. What the fuck is that?
Tell us what happened. What happened right, there?
Forget what I just said, Ricky. Somebody pissed on you?
No, he pissed on his pads.
Yeah, I did. Dunny must have told you that one. So I don't even know what tournament was at. Like, part of the U.S. program is you go to all these different tournaments, like U-17s or whatever it was. And I think we might have been in Finland or wherever we were. And, you know, I wasn't like – this setup was fine. It was like – it was an okay locker room and everything else. But, like, trying to get your laundry done and everything else over there wasn't easy for our equipment guy. So, like, first day we come in, you know, stuff's kind of, like, damp. Yeah, but it's like, you know, big deal.
Yeah.
So second day we come in, stuff's like even wetter and it's starting to smell. So I was just busting his chops. I was like, hey Jose, what are we doing with this laundry? Are you washing this in piss? He goes, you think I washed it? It's funny. I said, yeah. It smells awful. He goes, you know what? You want to see something washed? I'll piss in your pad. I said, what do you mean you'll piss in my pad? He goes, I'm gonna piss in your pad. And he walks over and picks up my pad, and I'm like, you're not gonna piss in my pad. Oh no, He pulled it right out in front of the boys and just started pissing all in my pants.
Well, he's a fucking God. Idiot, by the way. Like, no, I'm serious. No. Like, no, what's your fucking job? The clothes should be fucking dry. I'm sorry.
Well, what was your reaction?
He pisses on your
How'd you react to that? Your pads.
I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. I just walked over and I was like, okay, I guess I got to just dump this piss out and put the pad on.
No, you don't.
I don't know what to do.
What the fuck is that all about?
What would you have done, Cam?
Coronavirus. Now I'm like, if you piss Corona over my shit, get the fuck out of here, psycho. The worst thing in the world as a player is, and look, the trainers are, we take care of the trainers. And I'm sure fucking Ricky took care of the bodies back in the day. I'm sure Ricky gave him fucking huge bonuses at the end of the year. I could see that you're a good dude and you did that. You take care of the trainers. But the biggest fucking thing is when you come and you're grinding it and you're in the NHL at least, or in anything, and you put your shit on, and it's soaking wet. It's like a miserable feeling. So it's like, what are you doing? So for Ricky to ask him that, and then him piss on us. I'm confused.
I know. I can't believe
you
did
that. I'm confused.
Hey, what's your relationship with the Islanders now, man? Are they good to you? They invite you back for stuff? Like, do you have a relationship with the organization?
Yeah, they're good to me. I was doing some of the TV stuff with them. I was doing the pre and the post and stuff like that. It was just, I mean, they were over in Brooklyn, so it was just it got to a point where it was just too much.
Yeah,
trying to juggle that with the radio and the kids and everything else. But yeah, I mean, I take my son, loves going to the games, so I'll take him to the games. They invite me to all the alumni stuff and everything else, so it's good.
What kind of toys you got?
You got a boat?
What kind of toys you got? All right.
No, I don't have a boat. I got nothing now, man. I got rid of my car. I got my wife's car. That's what, because we don't go anywhere. I mean, I'm stuck in the house. I really have, I mean, outside of a piece of land in the Bahamas that,
ooh,
Sean Hill talked me into buying, that's just a piece of sand, because that was a good investment. That's about it.
Sean Hill,
he used to drive a Corvette back in the day. He played in St. Louis for like a year or whatever.
That lamb chop.
It wasn't his best stop. But wait a minute. You own an island in the Bahamas?
Like, no, I don't. I wish I owned an island. No, I own a piece of land. It was supposed to be like this big resort they were going to build, and then all of a sudden, that thing went to hell, and I just got a piece of sand now.
Like, well, go lay on it. Well, lay on the sand then, dude. It's yours.
What's the value of the land?
It's in the Bahamas.
I have no idea. I can tell you it's not what I bought it for. I can promise you that.
Really? Well, it's a fucking, you're on a beach in the Bahamas. That's why you bought it, and that's why you paid money for it. So just go do your shit with it. Here's the deal. What do you like doing? Are you a golfer? Like, what do you do? Like, what are your hobbies, man? Okay. Oh, you're a golfer.
I golf.
Okay.
Yeah, I golf, but I mean, right now there's no hobbies. Like, I can't go anywhere. Like, it's not, like, the golf course is, it's too cold here to golf. So, I do the radio show. Kids are doing homeschool, so I take care of the kids at home. I got a 5-month-old baby.
Oh, wow.
I coach my high school team, and I help out coaching my son's team.
I know.
That's what I want to hear.
And he gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
You get up at 2 o'clock.
You don't watch any hockey, dude. You're sleeping.
I watched a little bit. No, I'll watch the Islanders Rangers tonight for sure.
Well, you're gonna have to watch like the Brooklyn Nets and shit because no one talks about hockey. Does that not suck?
Oh, I know, because Kyrie's creating all this shit right now with the coach.
Ricky, though, do you act like you know what you're talking about? Are you humble? Like, look, I did my fucking shit. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm funny and handsome, and I make money. Is that what you do? Or are you like, no, fucking Kyrie did this last night?
I can't lean on the handsome card. No one sees me. I got the voice to lean on here. Dude, I'm telling you what, New York fans, man, you got to know your stuff. Like, they will call you out instantly.
I know they will.
Hey, who are
you going to watch? Like, I watch all the Nets games and everything else.
Who were your teammates that were smoking cigarettes in the locker room between periods? I saw you telling that story. I saw a video you were telling that story. But you didn't name names. Like, are we talking about the Russian players or what?
No, we had a couple guys. I mean, one of the guys that one of my best friends of all time was...
Hainsey?
I don't want to confirm or deny any of those stories, but yeah, I mean, there's a couple guys that would enjoy a quick smoke break once in a while.
Who doesn't do that
between periods?
Oh
yeah,
I mean at the bar when you're
not everybody does that between periods.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, probably smoking a dart's better than taking some of the energy fucking pills we used to take in juniors and shit, man.
Painkillers.
Or painkillers.
I took those. I took those energy pills. My first year in the IHL playing for the Wolves, man. I'm like, what are you guys taking? They're like, just some stuff for energy. I said, oh, yeah, you think those will work for me? They're like, oh, of course. You want to play good or you want to play great? I was like, what do you think? Great. So they passed me a bunch of these pills. Midway through the second period, I couldn't stand up. They had to carry me. I was so cramped up, they had to carry me off the ice.
You dehydrated as fuck.
Hey, did Brent Johnson, did he call you after you got knocked out? Did he call you the next day or no?
No, I think he texted me, yeah.
Yeah. I knew he would.
Yeah, he handled it well.
He's cool.
He would do that.
Hey, cool. One other question. How'd you meet your girl?
I met my girl on a blind date in the city.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, did she look at you like, oh my God, I hit the fucking jackpot?
What were you doing? Were you
explain that? No.
Were you
Andy,
playing?
I'm asking
were
a
you
question.
Playing though?
Were you playing? Were you a pimp at that time?
Well, no. I mean, it was in the city, and we had a buddy of ours because we were all too young to get into the clubs in the city. So we had a buddy out here in Long Island that was one of those club promoters. So anytime we'd want to go in the city, we'd call him up, and he'd be like, yeah, no problem, and he'd hook us up. So we were hanging with him, going back and forth in the city, and at one point he's like, hey, I got this friend you should meet. And I was like, listen, I'm all set. Like, I don't, like, this whole blind date thing, I can't imagine it's going to work. He's like, no, trust me, you'll like her. So we hooked it up. And then, that first night I think I was at Sweet 16. I walked out, met her, and then from that point on, it was a wrap.
Were you just spending money like, fuck, come check this out. Like, let's do this. Like, oh, God, do I have some of my beautiful hair? Can you check this? Like, I get this. Oh,
hey,
man.
Hey, Ricky.
I love it, dude.
Grow that hair back out.
Yeah, man. Hey, you're the best of the best, dude. You're awesome, man. And fuck, man, we got your number, and I don't know, man. I'd like to get in touch with you. You're fucking great. You're a great interview. You got a lot of stories, dude. Yep. Shit, yeah.
We'll be in touch, man. Thanks for doing this.
No, my pleasure. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Right, see man. You, dude.
Take care.
Take it easy, guys.
See ya. That was Rick DiPietro.
Awesome.
Awesome, dude.
Dude, he's fucking awesome, man. I want to hang out with him.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Like, I want him to be my wingman back in, like, 07 when I was single. And, like, just hang out with me.
He's got that tattoo sleeve, too. A lot of tattoos. Fuck. I might get one. What do you think? If Andy, I got a whole tattoo, Andy, whole sleeve on my arm.
Stop. Just stop.
You think I could handle the pain?
You look so weird.
What do you have, that little, like, rose?
You look so weird.
You have a tramp stamp. Is that what you have?
You look like you're just trying to be, like, I'm like, I look at you like, stop. Fucking hide it. It'll probably be, like, Power Rangers or something.
Power Jesus Rangers. Christ. I don't know, man.
Don't do that, dude. I don't even have tats, man. I got one of my fucking.
I know.
My leg.
Why do you have it there?
Because if I'm naked, chicks can see it, and if I'm not, then no one knows I have it. But if you know me intimately, then you know I have it.
Mm.
And dudes, by the way, in the locker room and stuff. So I'm intimate with a lot
what
of
is
people.
It? An eagle?
It's
eagle?
A my fucking eagle and American flag. Okay, I'm from middle of fucking Missouri.
There's the evidence right there.
I'm from House Springs, Missouri. I am from House Springs, fucking Missouri, and Eureka at
you
the same time.
You didn't pay for that, did you?
I did. It was in juniors in Windsor.
You had to pay for it.
Fucking no, I was wasted, by the way. And then I had my couple girls with us, and John Scott Dixon. I'll throw your fucking name out there, John Scott. You're with me too. And Daryl Lloyd, I'll fucking throw your fucking name out too, because I love both of y'all. And we had a bunch of weird. And I'm like, put this thing, my grandpa had it, put it right there. And so I always thought it was cool when you were like, you know, you wear those your boxers and you got a little bit of half of your fucking tat hanging out when you're around girls.
Oh, you thought that was
and your
cool.
boxers. Yeah, like okay. It looks sexy as fuck.
Okay, cool, man. Well, get another one.
No, I'm not sexy anymore. Now I got to be like, I got to like take care of myself. I can't get inked up anymore, man. Yeah. I'm past that point. I'm not jacked anymore. Well, I am kind of jacked. But I'm not as jacked as I used to be. So it's not. We're past the tattoo time, baby. Mm. Unless, like, you're going to get
blue. Did you get some new shoes?
Yeah. Kate gives them.
She gives them to you. Those were hers?
No, Kate just, I go, Kate, go somewhere and just get me whatever, and she just does it.
And that's what she picked those out for you?
Yeah, they look kind of cute.
They're okay.
I look athletic in these,
they're
I think.
Kind of, but, like, you look Andy, like a you gym got, teacher.
Andy's got fucking boots on right now. Like, he's going to go to some job site and, like, nail fucking nails on and snap those snap ties off on the concrete and shit. Like, who the fuck are you kidding right now with those?
These are shit kickers.
No, they're not, though. They're not boot. Like, shit kickers are fucking, like, you got cowboy boots on, or you got, like, military fucking shit kicking boots on.
They're neither.
These are, like, I'm a
cool-ass boots.
No, I'm a foreman, but I'm not. I'm a from the poor part of Ladue foreman, but I don't know anything about skill. Get the fuck out of here with that.
I don't have any skill whatsoever.
No, not when it comes to that.
Around the net.
Okay, here's the deal.
Around the net.
Here, I'll tell you this right now. Here's how you know your buddies have skill. You got shit to do around your house. Who are you calling? You think I'm fucking like, okay, I got to clean my basement out. I got to carry these things up. I got to fix this concrete thing out in the back. I got to fucking take care of this, which I had to do with my house. And I'm thinking my all my buddies that owe me favors, which I don't like to do, but I'm like, who are my fucking top guys? Do you think my number one top five would be Andy fuck Strickland to come over and help me move this concrete wall out of the way and then help me pour this other concrete and then dig this hole? Do you think I'm like, Andy will be good at that? And he's got the boots for it. He's going to come over and do that with his scarf on. No, I'm not calling you. I'm calling my shit kickers.
Okay. You know what's
I'm
funny?
Calling my fucking
you know what's
shit
funny?
Kickers.
Is I wouldn't call you either if I needed that.
No, I suck at that.
I'd call Kate's mom. You know, I'd call her mom before I call you.
Oh, God, guys, I told you about doing my radio show in my office, and then Kate has her mom, her dad, her uncle, and her in the backyard doing bitch work, which is kind of a weird term, but it's like the grunt
fuck work. I don't think you should call it that.
I'm going to rephrase that. The grunt work is what it is. Digging shit. Fucking
just
this, and I'm on the radio in my office looking at them through my little office like, I'm pathetic, and I'm watching them, God.
The funny thing is, I've got the kick, you know, the shit
Andy,
kicking boots.
Don't even talk about
your
boots.
I wouldn't
even
want to wear these there, because I wouldn't want to get them all muddy like that, okay?
You are a wannabe fancy
lady. You can wear your little gym teacher. You look like a little
I don't care what, I don't even know
I'm
what
Mr.
I am.
I'm Mr. Jansen, I'm a gym teacher.
Kate dresses me.
I teach PE.
Kate dresses me. Good, I want them to think I'm like a noble PE teacher.
You wear your running pants.
I'm a
with
psychopath.
That, which is hilarious, too.
Like, I want to be normal looking to people.
With
like,
your Nelly,
like,
with
I try
your
to,
Nelly hoodie.
Can't I blend in? No, exactly. I got a Nelly hoodie on. Like, I stick out like a fucking sore thumb.
Holy fuck.
All right, so Rick DiPietro, man, we appreciate him joining us, man. We think about all the good times.
I like him, man. I do He's like him. Cool I want to hang out with that cat. He's not cool. going to lie to you.
Well, he doesn't hang out with anybody, man. He's got the kids and all that stuff. And
when we'll get a babysitter.
When you get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, there's not much hanging out.
Fuck, take a day off. And okay, I'll set it up.
And he's coaching high school hockey.
That's true. Okay. I don't want to fuck that up.
But I'm pretty tight with some of his boys from back in the day, though. Like they get together. They get together every once in a while.
I bet you are, Andy.
Well, you know that's true, though. Actually,
he is. I don't know how. Like, Andy's in the mix with every person ever. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
And you know it's
Jesus
true too.
Christ, I know. You guys are all weird together. I like it.
Okay. All right. Is that all you got today?
What do you want me to say? We're out for fucking 3 hours. I had a show to do. I had to do another show.
You might have to stop doing that.
I get my groove on, baby. Like, we need to do this. Did I not bring
earlier.
The heat today?
I don't know. Kinda.
I was really good. I thought it was pretty good in that interview. Like, that's not my kind of interview. Like, I'm like, what's up, baby? Do you go downtown and fucking party? I'm good at things.
All right. The Canvas Trick podcast is brought to you by CarShield. Cam,
yeah.
Let you handle this one.
Well, CarShield, they're fucking awesome is what they are. I did a video out there. It's kind of funny. They get the biggest fucking place in the world. They're gigantic. And I remember one time, I'm really good at live reads. I remember one time in Eureka, my star didn't work, and I walk outside and I wave.
Yeah, you told that story.
I wave by there, by like, goodbye, yes. Everyone, like Cleopatra would do back in the day.
Yes.
And then I get in, everybody's like, bye, Cam. They throw an En Voyage.
What's the promo code?
And I turned my thing, and my star didn't work, and it was embarrassing, and somebody had to drive me home.
You called your mom.
I'm like, what's
dad?
Up, CarShield? What you got? And they're like, oh, fuck, what do you want to do, Cam? Do you got a place right up the road? I'm like, yeah, take that. Can I do that place right?
What's Steve's the promo code?
Camastrick? No, Cam. It's fucking Cam, baby. It's Cam only, not Camastrick.
It should
be. I own this shit. Let's go. It's Cam. It's easy. It's C-A-M. And by the way, to finish that story, they just hooked me right up. I picked out where I wanted to get the
car.
Is
your real name Cameron?
Cameron Wesley.
It is?
That's a sexy Wesley. Name. Wesley. Well, Cameron Wesley? I used to go to girls at back in the day and be like, they like, what's your name? Like, I'm Cameron. If I'm on the road, I say Cameron because I think it sounds sophisticated. And they're like, oh, you're smart. And I'm like, oh, yay. But at home, you got to say Cam, but they don't ask me because they already knew it anyway.
Okay. Yeah. All right. The Camister podcast is also brought to you by Canadips. Cam, I'll let you handle this one.
Well, I'm doing good. Canadips is, like, check it out, guys. I have so many people asking me about it. Like, Mace, like, a fucking ton of people, like, check it out, guys. Check it out. And
I got to give a shout out to Chris Mason.
Dude, awesome. God, I love
him. He was in
death.
Contact with somebody Holy who fuck. Had COVID-19. He's on the shelf to begin the season, even though he tested negative.
Oh,
his videos are hilarious,
he's
by the way.
I hung out with him. We had such a fucking fun team in 2008. Oh, I love that man. He does such great work. He wants to talk about this. Here's the point.
He's got a sick beard, too.
I've been chewing since I was a fucking child.
Goatee.
And a ton of day. And this is helping me get through the times where you just throw a chew in to throw it in because you're bored and you just crave it. Now I throw the Canadips in.
What's the website?
What?
What's the website?
Canadips.com, probably.
No, it's CanadipsCBD.com.
Well, fuck you then.
And
say it.
What's the promo code?
Camastrick.
Thank
Ooh,
you.
Save
50%. 50%
Dude,
off
I was
the
in the middle of a story.
Roll. Oh, go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, look. If you guys are chewers and you have the big stuff, I still do the big stuff after big meals.
Are you doing less of it?
Can I? Yes, I'm doing less of it. Dude, I chew all damn day. So the in-between stuff, now when I'm driving, I use Canadips. When I'm doing my research in the morning, I do Canadips. Mm. When I'm on a radio interview, I'm hosting my show, Canadips. When I'm still doing the big meal stuff, I'm like, fucking, at the end of the day, I throw a big one in, fine. But God, I've weaned off of it and it saved me a fuck ton of money and it saved my fucking smile and my wife makes out with me every fucking day.
Well, that's great news. All right, again, the California roll. Five flavors. Can you, Cam, you name all five flavors.
God damn you with your questions. Seriously, though. Mango is one of them, and it's probably the fucking best. Look, I got it
Citrus,
all in front of me. They're all good.
Mint.
I mix them all
winter
up, dude.
I like wintergreen.
Wintergreen's good. Dude, mix them
and
up.
And American Spice, my favorite, actually. American Spice is my favorite. Again, mention the promo code CamAndStrick. You're going to save 50%. 50 off of that.
50.
Yes.
50.
Off of that California roll. All right. KeepItHandsome.com. Cam, I'll let you handle this one. Go ahead.
Well, look, I do look handsome as fuck in that goddamn sweatshirt that they have. It's an unbelievable website. The hair product that they sell is fantastic. It makes you smell handsome, which means sexy, which I told you about, my wife wanted to make out with me. Now she wants to smell my fucking hair all the time. I'm like, fuck yeah. Because when she smells my hair, she gets turned on. I'm like, get over here, girl. What's up? What's up? Then we make love. Then she smells my hair again. It happens again. Then I can't get hard again. And I'm like, oh, let's wait a little bit. The point is, my hair smells unbelievably sexy as shit. And it never used to do that, but now it does. And it's very bizarre. So you better, like, get used to banging your wife again because your hair smells sexy as fuck. On top of that, a lot of the proceeds go to anti-bullying in Montreal. I told you I got pissed on back in the day.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, in fifth grade by this big motherfucker.
Man, the guy pissed on his pads. Yeah, Very bizarre story. But it happened in Finland.
Fucking weird.
Very weird.
I got pissed on. I'm like, fuck. And I told my dad, and he's like, what the fuck? And my dad's so awesome. But he's like, you got to take care of that. And I did. I didn't get pissed on anymore. Now when I want to get pissed on, I say piss on me, and they do it that way. But that's my decision, yeah, Andy.
Okay.
That's my decision.
Well, I'm glad you shared that with us. KeepItHanson.com. Get that Fight Ugly hoodie. Mention the promo code CamAndStrick. You're going to save 15%. All right. Bud Light Seltzer, baby. You know all the flavors. Strawberry, black cherry, lemon lime.
Mango.
And mango, baby. Okay? Mango. Mango is just an amazing phenomenon that's really caught on throughout North America.
If mango was a person, it wouldn't be you, Andy. It wouldn't be a 5'3", 120-pound guy that can't grow a beard. It's not going to be you. No offense. You're a good guy. We love you. Very smart. Came through a lot. You're a fancy lad. We're not going to get into that. But if mango was a person, it'd be like a Trevor Lawrence. Okay, fine. No, I'm going to fuck Trevor Lawrence. This is what it's going to be. Go to your mom and dad's house if you're an older dude, and like go into her older books and look at the cover of those older books that she used to watch, and see that handsome motherfucker on the dragon holding that dime piece. That's motherfucking mango. That's fucking mango.
It is.
He's got a dinosaur. He's banging that hot chick, and he's fucking cruising around. He's got sick hair.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
And we're scaring a guy doing our shit right now.
The guy's in here hooking up our internet.
He'll be okay.
He's just like, what did I just walk into?
We're doing a promo.
This is Bud Light Seltzer, baby.
Well, he's gonna get hooked up with some Bud Light Seltzer after this. Anyway,
you want a seltzer? You want a seltzer?
You want one of these, man?
Oh, yeah, nice.
See,
there you go. Hook them up with a little seltzer. You got a cranberry, the variety pack.
Yeah, see, everybody loves it.
We won't tell any of your employees. They don't
I think you know what I'm talking about with those books. Like, remember those old books that women used to
with
read?
With the Viking.
It has like a handsome guy with long fucking hair riding a dragon on it.
He knows.
You know, you used to read those back. He used to read
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Was it the Bible or not?
He's like, give me another mango for fucking chirping me like that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Bud Light Seltzer. BudLight.com, dude. They'll deliver it to your door.
Yeah,
less than a gram of sugar, 100 calories, 5% alcohol. It has all the goods. All the goods. And again, Bud Light Seltzer, unquestionably good. All right, Dan Bellman.
Great ending to that one.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Unquestionably good.
Yeah. Stutter Dan, again, will you?
Dan Bellman, yep. Bellman.com in Troy, Missouri. Cam, tell us about Bellman.
Well, Bellman's great. They are a hockey family. They were a loyal to us. They're one of our first sponsors ever. They keep this engine running. They've been going through a tough time with COVID. People go out there, and they're comfortable when they want to buy a car, when they want to trade in a car. Kate's got this Jeep Grand Cherokee. It's a Hemi. It's pretty cool. But we want to get a new one. Kate wants to trade in. But if I'm working that day doing, like, unbelievable radio work
send her out there.
If I can do an awesome fucking radio act, I'm like, he's like, Cam, can I go to Bellman? I'm like, hell yeah. Go to. And she said, Cam, can I go anywhere else? I'm like, no, I want to see you again because I want that swinging dick coming out and fucking putting a fucking roofie in your goddamn drink. I'm done with that shit. You go to Bellman, she could walk in there. It's comfortable. They'll let her pick out whatever.
You need to calm down the cursing right now when we have this guy put together our internet.
Dude, this is a fucking wily veteran doing fucking hardcore work. Like, he's
he can
probably
do it
entertained
with his,
by
he
us.
He can do it with his
He's probably dealt with shit his
eyes
whole
closed.
Life. Like, he's probably like, I don't care.
I'd have this guy. I'd have this guy come over to the house.
You're giving me beer when I walk in here to do work? He's like, fucking all right. So, yeah, man. That's all good. Bellman. Bellman.com.
Bellman.com. Also, Victor Hockey. Always got to pump this guy up. Out of Denver. Best logo out there. Anywhere. Check out victorhockey.com. Check out their Twitter account, their Instagram account, at VictorHockeyUSA.
Damn right, baby.
All right, this has been episode number 106, man. Cruising right through them. Rick DiPietro.
Keep coming.
This dude was great. 10 out of 10 for Ricky. 5 stars
fucking
all the way.
Handsome bugger.
Check out CamAndStrick.com as well if you missed any of the previous episodes. Get your ass caught up to the Cam and Strick podcast.
Yeah.